Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I can get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Sacramento, California. Hello.
Larry King, I want to commend you on your choice of suspenders tonight.
It is black.
I know it. This quality, though. This money that belongs to the Iraqi people, can they get that back from Saddam? And are we going to get Don and Mike on the Armed Forces Radio over in Iraq?
Good question. That's a good question. Nick. Christopher, can they get the money some way to send that money back to the people? He probably took it from them.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most hotties in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Oh, hello, folks. How you doing out there? I know you're excited to hear my voice, aren't you? Let's play that one more time. Yeah. I got a call this morning from Don, and I should say it wasn't even a phone call as much as it was a whisper. Don has almost no voice left, and he really very much wanted to be here, and he fought with it. He wanted to come in, but he couldn't talk. So if you can't talk, you really can't do a radio show. That's one of the rules of radio. So keep him in your thoughts. He actually feels fine. He just can't talk. Don and Mike will be back live in studio tomorrow, so don't you sweat it. Until then, we got the best of Don and Mike to get you through, and really good stuff today. I think you're going to enjoy it. Also today, just because Don and Mike aren't here doesn't mean we don't have prizes for you. Before the show is over today, you will have your chance to win a trip for two to Myrtle Beach with a two-night, three-day stay at the Caravelle Resort. This is courtesy of Hooters Air with nonstop jet service from Baltimore to Myrtle Beach beginning this Friday. And check this out, folks. Hooters girls on every flight. You gotta like it. For reservations, call 1-888-FLY-HOOT or go to HootersAir.com. Hooters Air flights are public charters operated by Pace Airlines. See your participant for full terms and conditions of travel. So stay tuned today, folks. Before the show is over, we'll be giving away that trip to Myrtle Beach on Hooters Air. Not enough reason to stick around if the best of wasn't good enough. And furthermore, make sure you tune in tomorrow when Don and Mike are back, because you can win a Toshiba DVD player, because the American Film Institute reveals America's 100 greatest heroes and villains in AFI's 100 Years, 100 Heroes and Villains, tonight on CBS. Oh, I love CBS. At 8 p.m., it's hosted by Arnold Schwarzenegger, the future governor of California, sponsored in part by Pontiac and Best Buy. So, let's review. Don, no voice, feeling better, will be in tomorrow. Later on in the show today, trip on Hooters Air to go to Myrtle Beach, and tomorrow, a chance to win a Toshiba DVD player. Tonight, you'll watch 100 Heroes and Villains, the AFI special on CBS. Whew! I got to get myself something to drink. I got to relax. And folks, enjoy the best of Don and Mike.
I want to talk to Ken Stevens about two things, all right? Ken Stevens, fearless leader, six-car garage owner, the general manager of the station.
What's that? That's Ken's special busy signal.
Ken's sending gamma radiation down the phone into our brains.
Hey, would somebody run up there? Certainly not you, Rob. Would you ask someone else to run up there, though?
Can you send Lisa?
Yeah, why don't you send Lisa up?
Uh-huh. Right. She's very athletic. She can make it up the stairs.
And get her to get Ken off the telephone. One of the things I want to ask him about is that hideous memo that he put out on Friday that said that salespeople are no longer allowed to come into the studio.
Oh, yeah. Does he have any idea that he's eliminating 70% of our programming?
I mean, just with the fluctuations in the personality of Tim McWilliams.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. We have to have the Don and Mike exemption for that rule.
You know, we got to have Tim. We got to have Alan. We You got to have David Hainline.
That's right. And, you know, we only have salespeople on this show when they are invited in. Mm-hmm. It's not as though they just wander in. And that, as a matter of fact, that is verboten.
Well, you know, Ken, this whole thing started because Ken got mad at Bretta.
Yeah, for coming in slamming somebody she shouldn't have slammed, and then they got mad and that whole thing started.
Because you remember, oh,
yes, Robbie.
Gadget is on the case.
Ah, beautiful.
And what would you be enjoying? We
chips.
Got
chips. Chips and tuna
chips,
sandwich.
Chips and tuna. Oh.
Thank you, Robbie.
Ah, all right. Breath terrific.
Hey, Lisa. Please don't get the people for the Betch House yet. That's how she spelled it, B-E-C-H.
The Betch House.
The Betch House. Now, yeah, I want to keep the lines open right now, Lisa.
Betch, baby, give it us.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys. This is Dennis Murphy.
This is a Dennis Murphy impersonator.
Joe shot a banana at me, and you won $20.
That's a weak Dennis Murphy at that. Ken must be involved in a very important business meeting.
He's not still talking to G. Gordon Liddy, is he?
And if he was talking to G. Gordon, I think they'd be in the office together. I had the pleasure of riding up in the elevator. A little tension between those two men, I think.
Ken and G, man?
Yeah, you know, from a performer management situation.
Well, you know, G is upset at him at many of the same issues that we were upset with Ken about before we got our new syndication deal.
Sure. I mean, I had to, my mind was wandering, but it went back to that, he can kill people with a pencil thing while we were, even in that two floors that we rode up together.
And, Jesus, do we have some great news about our syndication that we can't tell you about yet?
Yes, sirree.
But do we have some huge markets that we're going to be busting into very soon with our new deal?
Even we were surprised.
Cool. Screw it.
Now, Gadget's up there. Now, Gadget probably has the worst working relationship with Ken of anybody in the building.
I think Ken hates Gadget.
Yeah,
I think
Ken would say, screw them.
He barely tolerates Gadget because he's our producer.
That's right.
All right, and here he is now.
Hi, Gadget. I disagree. I went up and gave Ken a big kiss on the forehead and said, get the F off the phone. Don needs to talk to you. And you see, he's still on the phone.
Did he say he would get off the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you, Gadget.
Very good. Good Gadget. Preschool closed.
Go, Gadget, go. Hey, I saw a bunch of ads for the Inspector Gadget movie. Yes. Which looks so retarded with Matthew Broderick. Vehicular homicide.
You never forget, do you?
Where he plays both Inspector Gadget and Inspector Gadget's, robotic twin. There's a good Inspector Gadget and an evil Inspector Gadget.
I don't know whether Matthew Broderick is going to be a good Gadget. I would think you'd be more of a Clouseau type. To play, to play Gadget.
Well, I thought the perfect one would be the guy that was Get Smart, because he was the voice of the Inspector Gadget cartoon.
Don Adams getting a little long in the tooth, though, maybe, for Inspector Gadget. I'd like to make him British. I'd like to make Inspector Gadget John Cleese.
And how does Matthew Broderick keep getting these big roles? For God's sakes, he ran over a guy and killed him in Ireland, and nothing happened to him.
Will you ever forget, man?
No.
Will you ever let that rest?
I won't.
So cruel to him. Poor Matthew Broderick.
Oh, poor Matthew Broderick.
Some no-name Irish person's dead, and you just won't let the poor boy rest.
It's one of your brothers, Mike.
Yeah, you're right.
One of your Irish brothers that he killed.
You know, you worked me at the right time on that, and you get me to come completely to the other side.
I know I can.
He can't run in my country, man.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Don, I got a suggestion for you where you can get laid. You said you haven't been laid in a week?
Yes, right. I'd love a suggestion from you, because I bet you get it all the time.
Check this out. Have you tried driving the car with your left hand and playing the piano with your right hand again?
Yeah, he's referring to what you did on your last, I believe, beach vacation.
I know what you're talking about, but that was kind of tough since there were always people in the car.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And my wife has been driving recently.
Makes it more of a challenge if there are others in the car.
Yeah.
little kids in the car and stuff. My nephews and stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know.
That's what car seats are for.
The twins.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it in front of the twins.
You just keep them strapped in and you put a blanket over the seats.
Oh. Ah. All right.
It's ridiculous. Screw that.
I'll call my wife. I got some issues to discuss with
her. It's the phone. It's the phone.
You know, it just might be the phone. Hold on.
The fabulous phone. You know, long weekend. Lots of strange, greasy little fingers in here. Fingers that probably shouldn't be touching anything.
I got about a million phones in my house anyway. I'll just try one of the other ones.
That's right.
I bet she's online.
Probably.
Because one of the things that I wanted to discuss with Ken involves Frida.
Hello.
Hi, honey.
Well, hi, boo-boo.
There she is.
I love you so much.
What did I do?
Wow.
Listen to that.
What did I do?
I do. I just don't think that's clear to enough people that I am your wife because I love you.
Well, I am
what
all
a great
for
start.
This.
What a great start.
How about that?
What
we're
a show.
All applauding.
First, the comedian with CP, and now my wife says she loves me and she wants everybody to know that.
Unconditionally.
I think sometimes people wonder, why is a woman that sounds relatively stable with you? You know.
See, there's always another side with my wife.
She gave you about 30 seconds of happiness right there.
No, and I want, you know, that you are not goofy all the time, that you are a wonderful husband, a responsible father, and an all-around good guy, and I love
you. What, somebody say something today or something?
No, it's just been on my mind that I don't make that clear, that I should make that clear.
Well, you're absolutely right, and thank you.
He needs to hear that, Freedom.
All right.
He desperately needs
thank
to hear
you
that.
For that.
All right, there you go for this millennium. Maybe next one I'll get tickets.
All right, listen, I had a bunch of weekend stuff, but I can talk about that without you.
Right.
What I do need to talk to you about, though, is I have to thank you. And turnabout is fair play, because I'm going to thank you right
you
now.
You owe her a serious thank you.
Because you don't know the great deed that you have done for me. Not only for me, but for Mike.
Yes, absolutely.
And even for somebody like Buzz,
wow.
Buzz doesn't know the great deal that you've done for him.
But it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful thing you've done.
I don't know the great deal I've done for you.
Okay. You know this decorator that my wife had at our house?
Oh. Any regular listener of this program has heard you speak at some point about the evil decorator.
Oh, yeah. I just hate this woman.
She's a terrific person. She's a terrific, terrific decorator.
There's one word,
nice person to boot.
One word that comes to mind. Spell the word and.
Mm-hmm.
And replace the A with another letter.
Oh!
You doing that in your mind right now?
A-U-N-T.
Replace the A with another letter.
That, you are so unfair, but go ahead. I mean...
All right, listen,
you know
here's the
and
point.
She's not only nice and a charming person and very talented...
She's a parasite, honey.
But she's also nice to never give me any grief about your references to her.
Listen,
on the
she is a money-sucking parasite, but that is neither here nor there, because when we get done with the breakfast nook, that's it. We're done with her. However, the great, great news that I received today is that you, my wonderful wife, have sicked the decorator on Ken Stevens.
Ken was telling us all about it in the office today.
Ken
met her today.
Right.
Or I guess met her over the weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On Monday. And came away feeling much the way that I feel about this decorator.
Well, that's because you don't understand the importance of putting money into something other than, you know, some stogie. You know, I mean, it's just a difference. Or putting money into something other than a car, you know, it's
honey,
just different. What?
Listen to me. I'm saying thank you. I'm saying thank you because now I know that for the next 6 to 8 months, Ken's life will be miserable because she will be there 24 hours a day.
You said she drops in any time,
yeah,
right?
She comes over all the time, and she just sucks the money out like a vacuum cleaner. It's fantastic. You could not have recommended anybody better
for
Ken's wife to decorate his house with than that lady.
Well, that's true, and I have to agree with you for entirely different reasons. She'll do a terrific job, but if Ken is like you, he might not enjoy the experience.
I like Ken telling us her line, though, but she keeps 3 or 4 houses in her mind at all times.
Yeah, listen to this line of bullcrap. she's telling Ken that Ken has to pay her a retainer.
Yeah.
You know, like the way that you pay a lawyer or a retainer or something, right?
Uh-huh.
And Ken said, well, why do I have to pay this? And then she said, well, it's because when I'm on vacation in Maine for a month, I'll be thinking about your house. And she's so exclusive that she'll always have 3 or 4 houses going in her head at one time, and that's one of the houses.
That is amazing.
Is that a bunch of crap? Is that a bunch of bull crap?
Oh, my God.
You don't understand, but that's true.
And the other thing, I won't say this lady's name. For the sake of argument, her name is Alice, okay?
Alice, yes.
Okay.
You've never said her name before, but go ahead.
Oh, could I say her name?
No, you can't.
Oh, all right.
You can't.
Ken said something that I heard millions of times. Well, Alice thinks that the kitchen has got to go.
This is all wrong.
Alice thinks that the foyer is all wrong. And I said to Ken, I can't tell you how many times that I said to Frida, well, that's fine what Alice thinks. Well, what does Frida think about this? Because you end up like in a little competition with all of the other people that she's mm-hmm. ever hired. And did we pay her a retainer?
Yes.
Oh!
I
You're
asked.
kidding me.
I asked what it was today, and
you're kidding me.
Neither Ken nor Don knew what it was. So
we paid her a retainer?
Shuggy, that's the way it works. Or else, with a decorator, what happens if you don't is that you pay them a percentage of what you buy, and then they aren't looking for deals for you or within your budget. Then they're trying, if you do it that way, then you don't know, well, maybe she just wants me to get the more expensive thing because percentage is more.
No matter what she did, she got the more expensive thing, at least from my experience in our house.
Well, you and your partner would shop at, where do you shop for your furniture? Value City?
Yeah. And you know something? That Value City furniture, I sat on it. It was great.
How many years ago was it that he bought a couch at Value City? I mean, that's 10 years ago he bought a couch there.
And I don't mean to use you as an example, Mike, because if my husband were a bachelor, that's where he'd be shopping.
But you also know that...
Couch is a couch, man.
Yeah, a couch is a couch.
A couch has cardboard inside when you buy it at certain stores.
Well, if you buy a cheap one, you get rid of it. You buy another cheap one.
I have purchased cheap stuff since I moved into the new house, too. And the thing is, you know, now with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, I still buy cheap. I still buy
smart.
Because, I mean, if you saw what, even in the nicest areas of our house, occasionally if a 2-year-old has any type of chocolate involved in their body, you know, any they come near any ice cream or any candy, and they get on that, I'm not going out and getting some expensive piece of furniture.
Well, you do what we do with the dogs, and you just put those little electric collars on them, and they know the living room is off limits.
On his children?
Yeah.
I told Ken.
That's right.
I told Ken, you get ready for the next 6 to 8 months. You have no privacy, because this decorator is going to be at your house 8 o'clock on Sunday morning.
And Ken's got a little kid, so when he gets that nice new stuff, you know, it's going to be tough.
You know, you're going to be reading the newspaper in your underpants, and here's what gets me about her more than anything, is the way she talks to me. Because she talks to me, A, like I'm an idiot, and B, like I'm a 10-year-old kid.
Well,
like
when it comes
how about
to furniture...
This? I'm sitting in my cave, the one room in the house that I've been allowed to decorate the way that I like.
Which she loves.
Oh, please. Don't patronize me. She'll come in. She comes in and she goes, are you watching your football? You like your football, don't you?
All men are idiots.
Yeah.
All men are children. All men are idiots.
She is the most annoying person I've ever met, this decorator. She's the one. Remember a couple of weeks ago I told you, out on our deck, we've had these deck chairs that we got at Price Club. Honey, those chairs are perfect. There's nothing wrong with those chairs, but you know what I heard?
I'm the one who decided that those
Alice
chairs...
came over today, and Alice doesn't like our pool chairs.
That's wrong. Disregard any information you're hearing right now.
Oh, my.
That is wrong. I noticed that, and I mentioned it to her, and she said, and I didn't say a word, did I? In agreement with me. But she didn't mention that. I had to bring it up. I said, why didn't you? Why did you let me have these embarrassing Price Club chairs on?
This is the whole thing. Why did you, you know... When did this start, Cinderella, that you live this life? When you say to her, why did you let me have these cheap chairs out here?
Yes.
Listen, honey, I'm not made of money. Those cheap chairs are great chairs.
Shuggy, things just look nice, and if we can have nicer things and it looks nice, why
listen,
not?
They are chairs that stay outside.
Yeah.
The dogs go in those chairs. The rain gets on those chairs. Birds poop on those chairs.
And it takes money away from something that could be really good, like a gas grill.
Or a new TV.
Yeah, a new TV, something you can turn on and make stuff.
They make nice chairs that are made to go outside. I'm not saying put silk chairs outside. And I don't exactly have the life of Cinderella. Today, when you weren't around to move your hunk of junk in front of the house, I was pushing a car around with no key.
Honey, didn't I already tell you that there's a...
There was no key.
That's the other thing. My wife is such a snob now. I have a car... My beater car that I park in front of the house.
He calls it a classic car. The thing has got rust all over it and a muffler that's on the ground.
It's a classic car.
It is a classic car.
I haven't had the muffler fixed yet. She says to me,
She says,
it is so white trash that you have that car parked in front of our house.
Put it up on blocks. I mean, that's the way it looks in our right in front of our house.
Listen.
I like that, Sonny, that you have that, you know, that car out front where it belongs.
Yeah, of course. And if my wife had her way... We'd be building on a whole new wing of the house. She wants to build a whole other garage just so I move the car from out in front of the house.
And when's the last time you drove that car? Well, we're speaking of wise uses of money.
When you and I went to the mall the day the muffler fell off.
Yeah, and that was 2 months ago?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, and you haven't called to have it fixed.
I called.
And it's just sitting with a muffler on the ground, rusted out in front of our house.
Yeah.
So I want to get...
It's called character, honey. Give the house some character.
Yeah, so that sounds to me like a little bit of a waste of money.
I think it says when you go by a house that has that out in front, it said the guy lives here and knows his way around an engine.
That's where you lose it with me. You know me.
Yeah.
I'm the worst. Listen, I just wanted to tell you thank you. Thank you for turning Alice the decorator onto Ken.
Well, I know she'll do a beautiful job, but Ken might be a little reluctant. You know, I mean, that happens with husbands sometimes. So you're welcome.
There you have it.
See?
That happens with husbands sometimes.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right. There you go.
Okay. It's all brainwashing. We already had a whole big discussion about this before we even came on the air today. And we're pretty sure that Alice the Decorator goes to a class where they teach her how to brainwash these women.
I said that there's...
Whose houses she's decorating.
There, I guarantee you that at some point this woman has had training, either informal or otherwise, some kind of training to go into houses and make women feel bad about where they live.
Sugar, it's all what's important. You think it's important to have quadraphonic sound from a TV. So
it is.
You hear the train driving back at you.
It is.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Hey. Who cares? Honey, there is nothing better than watching The Fugitive, and when he jumps on that train, you hear the train go
right.
From one side to the other. Nothing better. When you're watching Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger,
right.
You hear those helicopters come into the jungle.
Well, when you see a quality, well-made couch, and not necessarily, no offense to Value City, but not one that,
listen, are you talking about the couches that we have in the living room? Keep in mind, these are the couches that we're never allowed to sit on.
Well,
you know, that's the other great rule.
Me and my book club are allowed to sit.
You know, and hearing you talk right now, my house is fully furnished now, but I'll tell you, I'm just tempted to go to Value City this weekend, just to buy something again. just to get something.
And you liked the things that she did.
Listen, my wife is a snob. There's no way around it. I love her anyway. You know, she's turned into a soccer mom snob, but it's okay with me.
Listen, I can't tell the difference between a Tipperillo and whatever cigar you like.
And that's always what it comes back to, isn't it? That the one vice that I have left, the one thing that I have left in this world that gives me pleasure is a fine quality cigar.
All right, well, we will start, I'm sorry, then from now on I will just spend no money on any recreational toys, nothing that you would want or nothing that I would want.
Oh. You know, you are just a cruel woman. There's a whole other conversation happening here on a separate level with my wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, we will just put the kibosh on our budget and just put it into to the money market.
Right, because I finally found something I wanted to buy.
Fine.
You know, finally found something I wanted to buy, a jet ski.
Is that what she's talking about?
I went on my brother-in-law's jet ski this weekend. That's going 65 miles an hour, not 65 knots.
Right.
65 miles. Imagine when you're on the beltway, driving your car 65 miles an hour. That's how fast I was driving a jet ski. I loved it.
Well,
loved it. Gotta have one.
No,
gotta get one.
I think it would be a juvenile waste of money and something that's just frivolous.
Right, so even if I was to buy a jet ski, which I didn't.
You get across that bay quicker than you would in a kayak.
Oh, I went kayaking this weekend.
How'd you like it?
I was Mr. Friggin' Outdoors. I went kayaking. I kicked ass at kayaking.
Did you enjoy the kayak?
As much as you can enjoy a kayak. Yes,
Ken,
Robbie?
Ken Buddy's online.
Honey, I gotta go.
No, good. I want to hear that.
All right, I love
Bye.
You. All right, love you.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye. Yeah, listen, I mean to tell you. You know, I get tired. It's hard kayaking because you got to do all the work yourself.
Get one of those jet skis that you can actually water ski behind. They make them right that powerful that you can actually tow a skier, and then maybe you could get that decorator and take her water skiing.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Don.
Hi there. Listen, had a couple of things we wanted to discuss with you.
Yes.
Okay. First thing. How about that decorator, huh? We just had Frieda on the phone talking about her.
And she said?
Yeah, she said she's a wonderful woman.
Yeah, I thought so.
Listen.
I thought so. I hear your enthusiasm.
You're welcome for that. Ken is very upset about the decorator. I don't know. Are you brave enough to say that on the radio, or are you afraid your wife will get mad at you?
What? That I'm a little concerned.
You're not enamored with the decorator.
Well, I'm sure they're all alike, so no one should be offended.
Right. That's Ken's way of saying he deeply hates the woman.
All right, listen, here's what we really want to talk to you about.
Yes.
What is up with this kooky memo that you put out on Friday about the salespeople?
We're very concerned about that memo. It affects us probably more than any other program at this radio station.
Oh, I know that. It just seems that, you know, every time I turn on the radio, somebody's in there shooting their feet off. You know, they...
No, that only happened with Bretta when she came in to do that thing about the towing company.
Some of our best bits, Ken, have been with your salespeople.
Yeah.
Listen, we got to...
I understand that because I've heard some of them, but...
We got to have Tim. And you know Alan loves coming in here.
I know that. See, that bothers me, too.
And we got to have David Hainlein. That's a big threat. And Shrinsky... The violently insane Jeff Shrinsky. I know that he's leaving for another radio station.
Right.
But we got to have him all. That's the
thing. Okay, now you're going to, and you have to have Tim McWilliams, right?
Tim McWilliams has to come in here, yes.
They lose some credibility, I think, with their clients when they appear on your show.
Oh, please. I think the clients know that they're all nut jobs.
There are many of them, actually, that it improves their street performance when they come in here.
Listen, Ken, there are so many soap operas that go on behind the scenes. Are you aware what happened when Alan started yelling at Tim last week, and then Tim decided to come in and start calling everybody sir?
And be nice, and then we met the new nice Tim McWilliams, and it was fascinating. It was riveting, and our listeners loved him.
Yeah, I thought about that. I hated to deprive you of the wealth of material that those people provide, but you know, you're supposed to kind of be out. Besides which, when they're in there talking to you, they're not exactly doing any business.
Well, can I tell you this, though, and this is the important distinction here, that all of the salespeople that have appeared on the Don and Mike show have always been invited. It's not like they pop in here willy-nilly.
Yeah, you know, when Bretta came by, as I like to point out, she like plastered our studio wall with signs.
She was like working us to come in here. That never, never happened.
We would have never invited her in here.
We wouldn't.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. If they were invited...
They're always... Okay. And we would guarantee you that they would always be invited.
Could you use them very sparingly?
Yeah, we don't use them a lot. It's just like you're taking away something that has the potential to be good because, just today, let me just tell you today. Today I saw David Hainlein running down the hall, or maybe it was Friday.
Right.
And Jeff Shrinsky had one of those things from the engineering office that shoots out like cold ice, and he was shooting David Hainlein in the ass with it.
And David was running down the hallway like a girl because he was worried about getting, you know, freezer burn on his buttocks.
It was fantastic. I mean, how can you take that away?
You see, that's a good example of things that I prefer their clients don't know about them.
But they're all good boys back there.
And I think the important thing to remember is whenever they're on the show, we summon them. We invite them. Oh, it's not like, you know, it's like there's no such thing as an open door policy.
When we had the girl on last week who won the free breast implants, when she said to us, feel them, of course we said, no, we couldn't, you know, because we're happily married. Well, Stacy, it was her account. Stacy felt them.
And then gave a nice plug for the doctor, who's her new client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to have Stacy, too. She's one of them that we must have.
Right.
Could we compromise just if we invite them in for special occasions?
Could you change their names? Then maybe, you know, the people would know who they are, really.
That could be a fun exercise. This is John Doe. John Doe salesperson.
All right, but you realize that people will already know Tim. You know, Tim sounds like the Norm from Cheers.
I'll tell you right now,
Cliff from Cheers.
Well, you just come up with, you just call him Norm from Cheers, then...
You know, we definitely adhere to the no Bretta policy.
Okay.
Yeah, he likes that. No problem.
That's a strong suggestion.
No problem.
All right, I can see some compromise.
All right, good.
If you use them sparingly, and if they're
beautiful.
Really going to make a fool out of themselves, change their names.
Thank you for your flexibility, Mr. Stevens.
Listen, but the no Bretta rule is definitely
excellent.
In place.
Right. We'll go along with that one.
Right.
Okay. Well, we'll give it a trial to see how much damage she's done.
All right. Well, I just think it makes them all sound more real. Because when they come in here, they're being real.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hate.
Yeah, I know you do.
Hey, and are you aware of the fact the last time we had Alan in here, there's no doubt, he's waiting for you to get hit by a bus.
Is that obvious to you, too?
There is no doubt that he is itching to be the general manager here. He cannot wait. You better be careful starting your car, everybody.
No, whenever Alan brings sandwiches back, I don't eat them.
All right, thank you, Ken.
You're welcome.
And listen, anytime you want to commiserate about you-know-who.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I now know where to call.
Sure. Give me a call.
We'll see you after the show.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Oh, my God.
And then one other thing about the decorator.
Yes.
The last thing I'll say on this, and I told Ken this, you want to get the biggest laugh? At some point, you'll be invited to her house.
Right.
To see her house. It's like walking into the Ponderosa. When you walk into her house, okay? Like a dude ranch. You walk in, you go, this is...
What? Howdy, partner.
What? This is it?
Big triangle out of the front porch. Calling everybody for dinner, for supper.
Supper!
Supper's ready! We got biscuits!
Oh, my God. Oh, Ken deserves that. He totally deserves that.
Yes.
Good.
And that's what you say about 6 to 8 months of suffering he's going to endure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good, good.
Should be there all hours of the day and night.
Excellent.
I should do that thing you should do me. Hi, I just have a couple of fabric samples I want you to look at.
Right.
Oh, please. I don't want to see your fabric samples.
Get out of here. I hate that decorator. I really do. I get your fabric sample right here. Oh!
Oh, let me give you one more example about her. Okay? I'm at the grocery store last week when I got run into, incidentally, by the guy that backed his car into me when I was walking to the grocery store. I'm coming out of the grocery store, and from across the parking lot, I hear, hi! And I look, guess who it is?
It's the decorator.
Alice.
Right.
So I wave, and I go, hi! And I get into the car. Frida says to me the next day, you didn't tell me that you saw the decorator at the grocery store. I said, well, you know, I don't tell you every detail, honey, of my boring life.
Well, you try to block it out when you see him.
She says, the decorator told me that you had a cute little girl in your car with you.
Oh, my God.
I said, honey, I was at the Safeway. I'm not going to bring a cute little girl to the Safeway with me.
That's the idea. And that's the idea of the decorator's little joke.
Yeah, right. Hey, funny joke.
Oh, God, I know it. I know the type.
Funny joke.
Lovely lady.
Funny joke.
Lovely lady. Here, take your money.
Parasite. That's what she is. She's a money-sucking parasite. Good. Meet the Stevens. That's all I have to say.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's right. I'm coming to your corporate headquarters. My plane gets in at 2, and we'll settle this deodorant thing face to face like men. What's your last name again, Phil? All right. I'll see you in 5 hours, Mr. Lacio.
The Don and Mike Show. They soothe your chapped ass. Don and Mike.
All right. I don't know how this is going to work out.
What's going on?
Now I'm wondering about the stories that Chris is going to tell us. I'm feeling a little bit of pressure.
Oh, and that's my fault because I made a comment.
Because
and
frankly,
I don't
the show has gone kind of askew today. We've had a bunch of stuff happen on the show today.
I think, you know, he's a nice guy and I think he deserves to be heard.
Well, I'm taken with him. He's my new friend, and I don't make many friends.
And I'm not going to sit here and
you're not going to like the Buggle story, though.
I'm not?
I know you're not.
Why?
Because I know you're not.
Okay. Really?
Really, you won't like
it. I know why I'm not.
Okay.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay.
All right, well, you know something? I'm going to detach and just roar ahead.
Okay.
Absolutely.
This is just a guy that I met who's up on my roof fixing my antenna. One hell of a nice guy. Normally, I hate Brits. And I hate most people. I don't, frankly, have a lot of friends.
Right.
And this guy is my new friend. His name is Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, I'm still here.
Okay, here he is. Now, I talked about him last week when he was up on the roof putting the antenna in. This guy's got lots of stories.
Right, lots of stories.
So we put him on the air last week. The guy came up with dick. He had absolutely nothing. So today he comes back to the house to finish up the work, and he gave me a list of stories that he could tell us on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
The guy from Britain, he's been in the Hell's Angels, he's had a pretty crazy life.
Right.
First story, tell us about when you found the AK-47 in Redskins coach George Allen's house.
Well, I was up in the attic, just looking around, I had some problems with the electricity bill over in this house. So I was searching through the attic to see if there's any heat or lights on or anything like this. And,
right.
I saw a hilt of a gun. The stock of a gun sticking out of the insulation.
Like just laying in the insulation,
they're
huh?
just poking out. Well, first of all, it's a little tiny stock. You know, just little tiny thing. So if you've seen a few guns, you'll understand what I'm talking about with a Kalashnikov. But anyway, so I grabbed it. It was very, very heavy. So I pulled it out. There it was. It was an AK-47.
Now, is this when he was still the coach of the Redskins?
No. This is a little bit after. This is about 6-7 years ago.
So George was doing a little home protection.
I don't know if it was, you know, I was just renting the house and leasing the farm at the time, so I don't know if it was exactly his.
It might not have even been
perhaps the gun wasn't his.
Okay. Okay.
Just kind of a wacky, you know, George Allen AK-47.
Sure, AK-47. I mean, any attic, if you're poking around, you find that would give you pause, I would imagine.
Tell us about when you're repoing satellite dishes in West Virginia.
Well, I had to go out there. These people wouldn't pay their bills, so I was the guy who had to go out there and repossess their dishes if they didn't pay their bills.
Now, are you talking about the big dishes, too, that they have?
No, like this is some of the smaller dishes.
Oh, so you've done this recently, then?
This was about 2 or 3 years ago.
Wow. Like the DSS.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't DSS. It was another company.
What, is it Dish Network?
Nope.
Prime Star.
You've got it.
Prime Star, okay. Prime Star.
So the guys who don't pay their bills.
So you have to go back. Does that mean like you would physically have to get on a guy's roof and...
One was in his yard.
Yeah, in his yard.
They attach him to trees out there.
This particular one, the guy is a real redneck from West Virginia.
Right.
He strips off all the top of his clothes and he shows me his bullet wounds. And he said, I used to repossess cars. I don't care about repo, man. He said, I'm not going to give up my dish. So I thought, oh, Christ, here I am in the middle of another gunfight. And I said, well, phone the company. So I have no problem, you know, this is just a job to me, you know, just go and phone the company. And he said, what's the number? I said, here's the 800 number. So he ran in the house to phone the company to argue about me repossessing his dish. So when he was in the house, off came the dish, off the pole, and I was in my truck, and I was gone.
Oh! Pretty sneaky.
Wow.
Yeah, was,
now,
yeah.
How many dishes did you have to repossess from West Virginia?
I did about 50 or 100 from West Virginia.
That's a lot of repos, man.
Man, that is incredible. I mean, did anybody ever take a shot at you?
Not doing the repos, but doing cable television down in Richmond, I got shot at, twice. I was in,
really?
Shot at once. Doing cable cut-offs, and another time there was a gun battle when I was up a pole doing cable television. Another time...
Tell me about the time that you're trying to turn a guy's cable off and he shoots at you.
Well, I went... This was down in the projects. This is in like a crack house.
Okay.
And so
it's a rough neighborhood is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. The Mosby Court, Richmond, right on the edges of Richmond. So I went up to the lockbox, which is where the cable is, unlocked the box, put it on the ground, went back to my truck, started my truck... I went back to the box, cut the cable, I didn't even mess around with disconnecting it, you know, unscrewing it or anything, slammed the box back on, you know, because they lock on.
Yeah.
Running from my truck and bang, bang.
Yeah, because somebody was probably watching TV.
Window, yeah, I pissed him off.
Bang, bang, man.
All right, what about the politician? Now, I know you can't say the name.
No, and this is hearsay.
All right, this
not
is
something I've witnessed, this is what I've heard, and I gave you a list and said certain things for, you know, divorce or castration or deportation or getting arrested.
All right, so everybody...
Certain stories I can't tell you.
Read between the lines here. This is not something that Chris, wink, wink, actually saw himself.
Right.
This would be something he heard about hearsay with a politician.
Right. Who will go nameless.
Right.
Right.
Was it a Republican or a Democrat? Can you tell us that?
No.
Okay. All right.
Because if I did, and you know where I live, this would start to
snowball. Okay.
No. It would start to narrow in. I'd be giving away clues to his identity.
Okay. All right. So tell us what happened with this guy.
Well, apparently he was outside at a party, one of these the sort of blue blood, black tie socialite parties here in Middleburg.
Yes.
And he was having a wee.
Right.
Outside the party.
I mean, he was taking a piss.
Absolutely.
He was taking a piss. Yep,
exactly. And he was outside somebody's house, and the lady of the party discovered him having a wee and said something to him. Then apparently, with his trousers, he pulled them down a little bit further and then chased her with his member in hand.
this is a politician we know if we heard the name.
Absolutely. This would, like, break the bank, this one.
Oh, really?
See, when he was telling me the story, he was saying... When I heard all this stuff about Clinton, when I heard this stuff about Clinton, I was thinking, oh, I know stuff about tons of politicians.
Yeah.
He'd like to call in and turn some of these guys in.
You get all those guys, like, in their close circle of friends, you know, they show their true colors.
And what about the girl that was making love with a shotgun when you were doing her in the bathroom?
Oh, yeah. This was a strange cookie. This was back in England when my bike gang days, and, anyway... So we were, like, doing it in the bathroom, and she's having a great old time. And I saw her leg going up and down, beside what we were up to, and she was rubbing up and down a double-barrel shotgun that I'd walked into this party with. So I don't know if she was making love to me or making it with a shotgun.
So she was kind of, when you were in the middle of ecstasy, she was rubbing up against the
absolutely
shotgun and getting turned on by the gun.
Yeah, the amazing thing was my girlfriend had got a ladder... Because we were doing it in the bathroom and put a ladder to the bathroom window. I was looking in the bathroom window, seeing what we were up to.
Oh, and what did she do when she found out?
Oh, she was mad.
So this was not your girlfriend at the time that you were banging.
No, this was a girl supposedly, you know, I just met at the party, yeah.
So that might have been another near castration there.
Now, now my wife's listening here. She's a veterinarian. That's why I'm talking about the castrations. I've got to be very careful.
Hey.
I've seen her do the dirty.
What about the princesses that you, the naked princesses?
No, there's no naked princesses. All it was is very recently I was doing some work.
He's changing a lot of these stories. He's on the radio now.
Okay,
I sat
right.
down, had Turkish coffee with five Arabic Arab princesses.
All women?
Yep.
No men at the table?
Not at all.
Naked?
Very innocent, though. They were very nice.
Very innocent.
Very nice.
Okay.
Very innocent.
Right. Oh, damn.
Did you ever do it with any of those Arab princesses?
Not an Arab princess, no.
Have you done it with any other princesses?
Yes, I have.
Wow. Did you ever do it with Princess Di?
No, unfortunately.
What's the country of origin of the highest-ranking princess you've done it with?
I can't say that because it's too close to ranking presidents and tribal chiefs and stuff like that.
Really? Mm.
Absolutely.
But was it...
Those ones I would be very, very silly if I was to mention.
Was it good? Can you say that?
At the time.
Mm-hmm. You see why this guy would be more interesting to come to your house to fix your TV than the average repairman.
Sure,
absolutely. With his butt crack hanging out.
Like to, you know, like to hear him at a cocktail party,
yeah.
too.
Well, I'm going to a party at this guy's house in a couple of weeks. You know, I don't like socializing much, but
right?
I'm so keen on this guy, I'm going to go to his party.
Get a few pints under his belt, and then get him to go.
All right, two more things. What about the Hells Angels, when you're in the Hells Angels in England?
Well, I think the story I told you about, I left the Hells Angels a long time ago. This is before I joined the Hells Angels. I was with another bike gang. And we were down a pub in England, and these two gorgeous girls turned up out of the middle of nowhere, and they're all friendly with us. So it's obvious that these girls are spying on us. So they came back to our clubhouse, and they were giving, you know, they started boasting about how tough the Hells Angels were and all the rest of it. And we were just an outlaw club, not part of the outlaw gang, but just a club that was just a... You know.
So these girls were spies for the Hells Angels?
Absolutely they were, yeah.
Okay.
So I was behind the bar, because we had our own bars in the clubhouse, and they started saying, well, the difference between, you know, outlaw clubs and Hells Angels is that outlaw clubs don't have guns. So with that, I pulled out a double-barrel shotgun and blew away a moth which is circling a light bulb. And
that's
we
good.
Never had any problems with the Hells Angels.
They got
back and said, well, this crazy little guy, you know. And, it's funny you said about Phil Collins.
Would you agree with that you look like Phil Collins?
Now, this is very, very strange, because about 3 or 4 years ago, I found out that my last name, which I'm not going to give out over the air, obviously,
right,
is not my real name. My grandfather was illegitimate, and guess who his father was? A Collins.
A Collins?
I'm telling you, this guy is, I swear to God, you know, a lot of British guys look like Phil Collins.
Sure.
This guy really, with the two-day growth of beard,
right,
with the receding hairline.
Maybe there's a connection somewhere. You know, just try to trace your family tree, see if there's a connection.
All right, so Chris, listen, last thing, tell us about the game of Puggles.
Oh, Puggles. Well, I'm not particularly good, you know, a big guy or a good-looking guy, but I had a lot of girlfriends. A lot of women in my life. And there was another guy, I think he was probably richer than I was, but anyway, he had a lot of girlfriends, so I don't know exactly how it got to it, but we started boasting about how many girlfriends we'd have. And so the way we can decide about who was the best guy, who was the stud, the Casanova of the club, we would go out and, you know, find a few more girls.
Right.
So after about a month or so, both of us were at it, going out into the nightclubs and the bars and the pubs and sort of rock scene in England. And because, you know, riding bikes and being part of a club and, you know, going to all the rock events, we had plenty of girls. So the club was sick of it because they were the judges. They were the ones who had to decide who was the best.
How many girls had you guys banged up to this point?
At that time. Well, before we started the competition, it was about 120 something, I think, each.
And you lived to tell about it.
And then I think during the competition, it was about 25 to 30.
Hey, this guy's a piece of work, isn't it?
And, I mean, I'm not up to like 10,000 you hear about these other people with boasting, but I mean, that's just...
No, maybe more like 500.
Yeah. But anyway, so the club was sick of it, so they said, well, listen, there's only one way to settle it, is you have to play Puggles.
Puggles, a big game in England, play
right.
Puggles.
Puggles. There wasn't a neck of the woods. So anyway, what you had to do is you had to go out and find the ugliest woman possible and take her to bed.
Yeah.
That was going to be the way that we were going to decide who was the winner.
Okay.
And did you win?
Well, both of us went the week, you know.
No, you were the winner.
Found these women.
Tell Mike why you were the winner.
Eventually, yes. But the next morning, after we both bedded these respective women, and my friend, he had bedded a hunchback.
He swears the woman really was a real, honest-to-God hunchback.
He said it was like this, like, real simple sort of mentally handicapped woman.
Oh, my God.
No wonder you told me I wasn't going to like it. I told you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm here
my God.
My friend banged a hunchback, but I won because I banged this mentally handicapped woman.
Oh, my God. So how did you decide?
She wasn't that mentally handicapped. I think she's a bit slow. She's a bit of a country girl.
A country. And who was... how did you decide after that who was the winner?
Because they were totally sick of this competition because all we were doing was like chasing women all the time.
Oh,
so they wanted other things to go on and decide. So,
you know, I might have voted for the hunchback in that situation.
Yeah, probably.
I think I would have probably gone, but they couldn't really decide because, you know, this girl was quite sweet, I was with, even though she was a bit sort of mentally handicapped.
Wasn't that on the other side last Tuesday?
And I said, what if I do her again?
Oh, my God.
Well, I win if I do her again. And my buddy said, no, I'm not doing the hunchback again. So that was it. Took her in the back room, did it again, and I won the competition.
He won!
Okay, he's the winner. That's the game of puggles.
The game of puggles. There's some, you know, you're right about this guy.
Yeah, you should hear his stories off the radio.
My
we're
going to
get the full utter bridge.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, he's got a lot of them.
Well, that's terrific.
Oh, Chris, thank you. You're welcome anytime on the show, and you do a great job with my TVs, and I will see you at your next get-together.
Okie dokie.
Beautiful. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, then.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Good thing you didn't find that AK-47 you have in your attic.
Yeah. Got it hidden real good, Mike. Who would have thought out of all the people in the world that I would become friends with a British guy? I hate the British.
He sounds like an interesting guy. Your kind of guy.
Oh, he is. I mean, the guy just talks and talks. I just sit there and just listen.
You know, it just sounds like he's lived a lot of life, especially in merry old England.
Yeah, and he was changing a lot of the story. There were a lot of details that I was hearing that I guess he wasn't brave enough to say on the radio.
Smart guy, actually, probably editing out some of those stories.
He's got his wife listening, and he's concerned about the names of some of these politicians.
Yeah, he's probably in trouble with his wife already anyway.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's like, I heard you on the radio. Don't come home.
That's Chris.
All right.
That's Chris, everybody. He won at Puggles.
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 And he said if we called a pub in Britain, we could ask, and at any time, there are guys playing the game of Puggles.
They would understand.
It's like the number one sex game in Britain.
Wow. So it's a game of Puggles, and the winner gets a big piece of boiled meat.
Hello, John and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, is this Don and Mike?
Yes, who's this, Ryan?
This is Ryan.
All right, this is Ryan from the Carolinas.
Yes, sir. I'm driving down Interstate 85 right now.
Yes.
There's a woman in the car in front of me, how shall I say, completely in the buff.
Really?
She's naked.
She's naked.
Well, how do you know she's 100% naked?
She stood up in the car.
Really? Is she with somebody else?
No, she is all alone.
Oh, come on. How can a woman stand up in a car driving down an interstate highway?
She just kind of straightened her body out, and I said, I rolled down the window and screamed as loud as I could, "Nice bush!"
I don't believe this guy.
I think we got duped on one of these before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I
don't believe you.
I don't know how to make you believe me, but I swear. I could give you her license number.
No.
What am I going to do with her license number?
I'm going to call DMV, please?
Jeez.
Oh, come on.
No.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, that guy's full of crap. They always have the same sound, those kind of calls.
Yeah,
and I said, "Nice bush." And then a winged creature came down.
Yes, she's driving 70 miles an hour down I-85, and she stood up in her car.
Right. And over in the center lane was a unicorn.
Hello, John and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Oh, this is again.
This is the guy.
Not again.
This is the guy.
My name is Al.
Hi, Al.
I am the Autodesk jockey. Soon to replace you. Ha, ha, ha.
I don't think we'll ever be replaced by automation, Al. Al?
Al, do you have a response to that?
Al?
Oh, Al.
We will never be replaced by automation, Al. You
can hear him typing into the keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Trying to come back with a response right now.
Just have to wait a while for...
What?
Why?
Boy, I tell you, that's the reason.
What was the response?
Why? He said, "We'll never be replaced." And he said, "Why?" And
because you can't come up with these. You can't come up with these quick retorts like we can.
That's right.
What?
You big fat dyke.
You big fat dyke. Dyke.
Wow. I am better than you.
F you.
You big fat dyke.
You big fat dyke.
F you.
We're waiting.
Let me tell you something. Last week I called and they hung up on me quite. Damn you.
Damn you. All right, I'll give you a chance to say one more thing, Al.
Go ahead, Al. We'll wait for your final. Give us your best shot here. Give him a minute.
Oh, he's typing. I hear him typing in the keyboard right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's probably some 13-year-old kid, you know, with his computer up in his bedroom. This is Ferris Bueller calling it.
Don't F with me or else. Ha, ha, ha.
Okay, don't F with me or else.
Don't F with me or else. Ha,
right.
Ha, ha.
All right. Goodbye, Al.
Bye.
Was that bye?
Bye. Okay, bye.
Bye, Al.
Bye.
Make it easy.
Bye.
I really like your show.
Thank you, Al.
Thank you, Al. You big fat dyke.
Go to hell.
Go to hell.
Now that's an ending.
Thank you, Al. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And again, happy Thanksgiving from all of us here at the NFL today. Now, the IBM Power Poll, just picked by my guys here as always. Craig, Randy, Jerry, Eric Mann, Bob Matina, our radio buddies, Don and Mike, everybody in on this one.
The Don and Mike Show. God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Very well said. It is the best of Don and Mike today. Don Geronimo is feeling better, but sounding worse. So that's where he stands. He's very sorry. He wanted very badly to come in today, but he just could not push his voice. When I spoke to him this morning, it sounded like he was whispering to me from under a bed. He just sounded like he had to be very quiet. Couldn't make his voice work the way he wanted it to. So he's very sorry. This is nothing serious, just a cold, but a cold strong enough to prevent him from talking. So that's bad. But what's good is that tonight on CBS, oh, this is the greatest, is this AFI 100 Heroes and Villains special hosted by Arnold Schwarzenegger. And because of this, tomorrow on the Don and Mike Show, tomorrow Don and Mike will be back. You can win a Toshiba DVD player because the American Film Institute reveals America's 100 Greatest Heroes and Villains tonight in AFI's 100 Years, 100 Heroes and Villains. I feel like I'm on a merry-go-round. I keep talking in circles. That's tonight, CBS at 8 p.m., hosted by Arnold, sponsored in part by Pontiac and Best Buy. So listen tomorrow, win a DVD player. Listen today. Oh, this is exciting. Today, later on in the show, I'll be giving away a trip on Hooters Air to go to Myrtle Beach. You have a chance to win a trip for two to Myrtle Beach with a two-night, three-day stay at Caravel Resort, courtesy of Hooters Air. That includes nonstop jet service from Baltimore to Myrtle Beach, beginning this Friday with Hooters girls on every flight. Oh, it's Hooters Air, folks. For reservations, call 1-888-FLY-HOOT or go to HootersAir.com. Hooters Air flights are public charters and they're operated by Pace Airlines. See your tour participant for full terms and conditions of travel or just check out 1-888-FLY-HOOT or HootersAir.com. Stick around. You got to listen to the entire show today and you can win that trip. Pretty good deal. Now, back to the best of Don and Mike, and keep listening because this trip can be given away at any time. And until then, we'll listen to the best of Don and Mike.
This was in the newspaper yesterday. It's also in the newspaper today. This goofy story about Florence Henderson being the host of Later Today.
Right.
The show that's going to be on after the Today Show.
Right.
You know, how they decided that Florence Henderson was the girl for this job, the woman for this job.
Well, I mentioned it before, Wes and Al T. I mean, I think that the lady's got a certain sexual magnetism.
I think it's just about gone, though. Do you realize, I didn't know this, I'm reading this article. Carol Brady from the Brady Bunch, Florence Henderson, was on the Today Show. She was a Today girl in 1959.
Right.
Okay, everybody.
The year I was born.
40 years ago, was on the Today Show. And now she's going to be a co-host on the Today Show?
Actually, one of the reasons she was on recently on the Today Show, promoting her new cookbook, and the producers thought her appearance went so well, they decided to consider her as a co-host for the After
Today
Show.
She's just got so much personality.
Oh. She really does. She's just so lovely.
Well, I think it's a mistake, man.
Yeah.
You know, I think at the Today Show, I have to believe that they think that their S doesn't sting.
Right.
That they can just put about anything on and put that brand name Today Show on it.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be their first spoonful of comeuppance, I think. So mark my words.
Okay,
who was your first choice for that?
My first choice?
Did you have a first choice for the, for the later this morning?
Well, I thought it should be male-female, and since I know that Jody Applegate is going to be the female, I was thinking of our friend Bob Goldthwait.
there you go.
He'd be excellent. Who doesn't want to see Bob Goldthwait every morning at 9 a.m. on network TV?
And I know they wanted Jody Applegate, but I was hoping for Morgana.
Oh, the kissing bandit,
absolutely.
Morgana?
I think Morgana would have added a nice flavor.
Well, I think you'd have a much better coupling right there if you had Morgana and Bob Goldthwait. You know?
good morning, everybody. Right now, Jody Applegate is going to go.
Or maybe Elvira. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Yes. You know, clean her up a little bit. You know, maybe get some pearl.
You need a lot of turpentine to do that.
Get some pearl drops on those teeth. Maybe it's because she wears that white makeup. Her teeth always look so yeller.
You know, I've got Bobcat on the brain because that movie Hot to Trot is on TV. It's on HBO like every day now.
Have you watched it in its entirety?
No. I only watched the first 5 minutes of it and flipped by it.
I logged a significant time with Shakes the Clown when that was on cable.
Shakes the Clown has its moments. And Florence Henderson is in Shakes the Clown, as a matter of fact.
The thing about Shakes the Clown, it does have its moments. Unfortunately, they're probably about 90 minutes between the moments.
You know, and that's where it went bad with us and Bobcat was the talking horse movie.
Right.
For a long time, Bob Goldthwait was as close as a regular to any showbiz guy we'd ever had on this show.
Right.
He would come on the show and he would do his crazy, yeah. And we had a TV show, and for a while he was on our TV show, and he would come to our appearances with us. Mm-hmm. And what we thought was very interesting is that after we got to know him,
right,
it was so funny to talk to him normally.
Because he's a totally different guy. I mean, thank God, yeah. Most people would say.
And I don't think he lets that guard down an awful lot.
No, and he's a funny guy, really, without that whole, hi, can you tell me? I think it's just kind of maybe paralyzing fear that makes him do that voice when he's on stage.
Actually, almost, you know, I would almost consider him an intellectual type comedian.
He is, yes. He's like a Mort Saul with his political content.
Yeah. When you take all the away. So we thought that we were like in the inner circle with Bob Goldthwait, because when he would talk to us, everybody else would go like, and then he'd say to us, hey, Dynamike, how you dudes doing, man?
Man, this is really a drag.
Where's my warm tab? He loved tab soda. So he was talking to us for 2 years straight about this movie. He had a great idea for a movie about a talking horse.
Right, Hot to Trot.
Hot to Trot. I mean, we heard about it on the air and off the air.
We heard the title and we busted his chops about it. He said, this is going to be big. This is going to be a great big movie.
We're like, Bob, I don't know. He said, no, it's going to be great. You're going to love it. I'm going to send you tickets. You're going to see it. You're going to love it. So we didn't even have to see it to tell us that we're pretty sure it sucked.
That's right. Hot to Trot, kind of ended up the final movie in the illustrious movie career.
Well, no, he was in all the Police Academy movies.
That's true. Right. That's true. Well, were those before Hot to Trot or?
Well, there's been, not that I know a lot about them.
The Clown after Hot to Trot?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And there have been 6 Police Academy movies, and I think he's been in almost all of them.
You would agree that Shakes the Clown had the potential to be funny much more than Hot to Trot.
Conceptually, 100% funnier than a talking horse.
You know, a clown, a kid's circus clown.
An alcoholic clown.
Fantastic.
Can't beat it, but he kept talking about the talking horse movie.
Yes.
And then one time we had him on the show and he said, what do you think about the talking horse movie? We said, well, Bob, you know, we love you, but we think it stinks.
Kind of a stupid idea for a movie.
What do you mean?
And then
if you guys, you know, like he stopped calling us and stopped stopping by.
Too bad. Yeah. There was one time he was on the show with a guy named Charles Fleischer, who was a comedian, another stand-up comedian, also did the voice of Roger Rabbit, and those two just got going, and it was
good, man.
Hysterical to watch them just to, you
know, they were crank-calling Kenny Loggins, as a matter of fact.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, your music sucks, man!
That was good.
How does Bobcat Goldthwait not rather die in a fiery auto wreck than listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara? My personal friend. Hi, check 1, 2, 3, 4. Woo! Hi, this is Bob. Hello, this is Vic Tayback. And I never listen to Don and Mike. Who is your target audience that I have to tell them what channel they're already listening to?
Well, I'm still waiting for that big comeback.
I'm still in your corner, Bob. I think you should be the next co-host of Later Today.
That's right. And as he said on the tape, I am his personal friend.
Yeah.
And you can tell how sincere he was on that tape.
The other thing I wanted to bring up before we move on, we have a Father's Day contest coming up because this weekend is Father's Day. Right. And how many girls are going to be calling Charlie Boy Hill, do you think, for Father's Day?
Yeah, all the girls that want some money.
Countless women. Mm-hmm.
Charlie!
All of his many children peppered throughout the countryside.
Happy Father's Day. The twins wanted to say Happy Father's Day, and they need the check.
Charlie! He's like Johnny freaking Appleseed, man.
All over the country. You know, whenever... And when we started traveling with the show, that's when he became, you know, crazy man.
Planting his demon seed everywhere.
You know, we'd be all, you know, Don would be thinking about the show. I'd be thinking about getting my next cocktail, and Charlie'd be saying, who can I impregnate next?
Want to talk about, what's her name? Shania. Okay, so I'm watching the show last night on the Nashville Network. It's Life and Times of Shania Twain.
Now, when you do this by stumbling upon it?
Nothing else was on, man.
Oh, do you actually look at a guide and say...
No, I just go through every channel from CNN 202 all the way to 963, which is all news channels.
You mean you didn't watch the AFI tribute to all the movie stars?
I knew, please.
I was watching that with my wife, and I said, if you're watching this, you are going to hate this. That is the opposite of something that you would enjoy. That's what I predicted.
Nothing on. No sports on last night. No good shows were on. Mm-hmm. It was totally boring, so I was just... I never even go to the country music channels, but I went by and I saw Nashville Network, Shania Twain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big Shania Twain fan. I mean, I'm not crazy about her music, but I...
You like her navel.
Yeah, love her navel.
Sure.
Love everything around her. I love everything below and above her navel.
She looks great.
Mm-hmm. But you should see when she was a kid. And I'm not talking about a wee little kid. I'm talking about 16, 17.
Okay.
Where they were showing tapes of Shania on... whatever the country music show was that was on in Montreal or wherever she grew up around in Canada.
Right.
The guy goes, hi, everybody. This is Fred Jones. We got a little girl here from Canada. She goes, knock your socks off. Here's little. And her name at the time was Eileen.
Eileen
Shania.
Twain.
Here's little Eileen Twain. And she comes up and, you know, she kind of looked like Meryl Streep's daughter on The Love Boat.
A little pudgy?
A little bit, but she had, you could see the beginnings of the Shania Twain face.
Right,
okay?
Right.
And she had... you know, nice boobs and everything,
uh-huh.
Young girl. It's not until she starts to sing it, open her mouth. I swear to God, her teeth, it looked like she had four teeth.
Wow.
And they were all gigantic.
Oh,
I know,
really?
You've seen people like this.
Right.
People that don't have normal sized teeth.
Yeah.
Where you're supposed to have like maybe two, maybe going on three teeth. It's just one big giant tooth there. And she opens her mouth like, hi. I love you. And I mean, on this show, they're making no mention of the fact that Shania Twain has four freaking teeth in her face.
Her love of teeth kept her coming back for more toothpaste.
And then they go to another tape where she was on like a Battle of the Band show.
Were the teeth better then?
No, still not better. Now on this one, she's about 20, right? And she's starting to develop into the Shania that we know.
Starting to look better and better?
Right. She comes out. Again, I'm thinking, looks pretty good. Until she opens up. Hi, everybody.
How are you?
Just these big, gigantic West Virginia teeth. And then the next scene is that she's working at a casino.
Okay.
She's like one of those girls that comes out and sings like, somewhere over the rainbow.
A lounge singer.
Yeah,
a
cabaret type singer. Mm-hmm. Well, now all of a sudden, she's gone from four teeth. She got 20 teeth, and they're beautiful and perfect.
Beautiful pearly whites.
She should find whoever has those tapes, and she should get them to burn those tapes. Because I'm telling you, Shania Twain, when she was a young girl, those teeth.
Oh!
And I'm not exaggerating when I say she had maybe four teeth.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'd like to see that just to see, you know, it's another one of those before they were stars type of thing.
So I called Frida and I said, come look at this, Frida. Look at this. And Frida told me that she had seen the same tapes already on a VH1 show.
Really?
Right?
Behind the music.
With her
big teeth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And was it big? Were they crooked in any way or were they just large?
No, just big and big spaces between them.
Oh, really?
Let me draw you a picture.
Okay.
Like, this is her smile, okay? Do you agree? That's like a nice smile. Okay?
Yes, very nice smile.
And I am not exaggerating when I say these are the teeth.
He's doing an artist rendering now of the teeth.
Okay.
We're going to see exactly what they look like.
No, I got to do it again. It's too generous.
At least she got them fixed.
I was too jealous.
I wonder how she got them, you know, whether they were all pulled and replaced with implants, whether they did a little bonding or whether, no?
No way.
Bonding wouldn't work?
Those have to be fake.
All right, caps wouldn't do it. These have to be
very
artificial.
Quick, but that's what they look like. And I'm being generous there. Okay? Being
like
generous.
One big, like almost like a jack-o'-lantern. A jack-o'-lantern mouth.
Oh, my God. Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going? I got a celebrity sighting for you guys, George Murison in Chevy Chase, Maryland.
Oh, who cares about George Murison, please? That's another thing I'm getting sick of, is all the grade B celebrity sightings we're getting.
Just wiggle your finger.
Hello, Don Mike Show. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I was just wondering if her teeth look like the guy off of Mad Magazine.
Alfred E. Newman? No, Alfred E. Newman had better teeth.
Better than Letterman?
Oh, come on, man.
No, I am not right. Kidding. I swear to God, her teeth are worse than Letterman.
Oh, my God.
Her original teeth, not the teeth that you see now in her videos.
Now her teeth are gorgeous. Got beautiful pearly white.
She's got them now. Yeah, she's got more than just pearly white.
Phone. What was that?
She's got more than pearly white.
No, it's not a mic. Phone.
Hold on,
be quiet. I can't hear Mike. What did you say, Mike? Hold on. Phone. Oh, it's a Letterman phone.
It's me, Dave. I've been doing some early Christmas shopping. And I came across a gift that would be perfect for the people who listen to your show.
Yeah?
Earplugs. Oh, man.
Nice teeth.
You know, sometimes I'm just so funny I crack myself up.
Yeah, nice big teeth.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. But I'm telling you, he laughs at Shania Twain's teeth.
And you know, Letterman really is becoming a jack-o'-lantern. Oh, if you watch him with
Letterman is a freak, man.
Yeah, he is starting to really. The older he gets, you know, a lot of guys, I think men have an advantage over women in a lot of circumstances.
They sure do, that men age much more gracefully
much
than
more
women
gracefully.
Do.
Letterman is turning into some kind of like Halloween costume.
And you got to know, we were talking before about hair.
Right.
You got to know Letterman has giant hair coming out of his ears.
Oh, sure.
Out of his nose.
Probably have to take a weed whacker to it before he goes,
my, oh my. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you. You are on the air.
Oh, hiya there.
Hi there.
Yeah, this is really Don and Mike then, right?
Yes, Don.
Oh, okay. Well, I wanted to know if you could help me solve the case of the peekaboo pee-pee.
The peekaboo pee-pee?
Yeah, because it's kind of a guy thing, and I don't know what to think about it. It's when guys sit down and have shorts on and... You know, you...
Are you talking about, like, when their nuts come out of their pants or when their penis comes out?
Well, either or. Probably the penis, though.
I think my old college buddy, when anybody ever talks about this, said... He had a particular part of his anatomy that he was famous for.
His scrot, right?
Yeah, it was huge. It was absolutely huge. And we used to say that he's got the biggest in the world.
Biggest scrot in the world.
And it wasn't really scrot, it was just the whole thing down there. And it was, it was the berries. The twig was really actually smaller, but the berries were just
huge.
Huge.
Huge berries.
And he would inevitably be wearing boxer shorts, and he'd walk into the lounge on a Friday night when everybody would be there with their dates, and he would strike up a conversation with anybody in the room, usually one of the ladies that was dating one of the freshmen. And he would be sitting there, and anyone that knew him, all of us that were your juniors and seniors, we would know to stand behind the couch, because as he would be engaging this woman in conversation, he would go down there and he would pull, and you would see it was like somebody pulling a suitcase out of a closet, because there was that much flesh down there.
Pull his ball out of his pants.
He would be absolutely straight faced, and I'll tell you something, I don't think I've ever laughed harder, because he'd say, he had this slight New York accent, and he'd say, he was from Connecticut, but he had a New York accent, he'd say, how you doing, it's great, all right, where are you guys going tonight? And as he's riveted to this conversation, the girl would be saying, well, I think we're going to go like to Hamburger Hamlet. Oh, I've been there, that's a fan. And as he's doing
he's
this,
pulling it out,
he is, I mean, pulling it like he's pulling a ship in with a line. Oh, man. Man, fantastic, that guy. Oh, God. Funniest guy I ever went to school with.
Well, I know guys kind of have a thing about that. You know, it's their favorite thing. But
yes.
I wonder if with some guys it's an accident or it's like really like an exhibitionist type thing, especially when... When there are people in the room and it's in your...
Who are you talking about? Who have you seen whose genitals have been exposed?
Well, it's a man friend, and he was in the front room with my ex-husband and my son and I. And
remember that Friends episode where they had the same thing where the guy put his leg up?
Yeah, and they could see right down his pants.
I'm not speaking from experience here, but I will tell you, I think 90% of guys that do that know exactly what's going on.
I think so, too.
Oh, you solved my dilemma.
Yeah, we always know where it is.
Right.
And a guy told me that you can feel the breeze, you know?
Sure you can. Of course, you know, and listen, it's not just for guys. There are plenty of girls out there that like wearing no panties and wear big baggy shorts, and they like sitting down and give you a little Sharon Stone.
Absolutely. When this guy sits down with the boxers on, describe his seating position. What would he do?
What, legs wide open?
Well, first of all, he sat down on the couch and he grabbed that area like, oh my God, they might see something. And then pretty soon it was all just hanging out, almost like.
Now did he hold on?
Pay attention to this.
Yeah.
So and then he just kind of sat there for about a half an hour with just.
When he grabbed, did he grab inside the pants or outside the pants?
Out.
Out. Okay.
Yeah. The key is really if there's someone sitting on a stair.
Yeah.
And he comes up and he puts his leg up on the stair and he leans forward.
That's a giveaway.
I have no experience with that.
Yeah, not at all.
None whatsoever. No family members of mine have ever done that.
Hello, Don, on my show.
Hello.
Cello.
We've got a special request for you guys.
Yes, ma'am.
We have a coworker that will be 31 on Monday,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't know what a hairy bush is.
Is his name Homo Joe?
No, his name's Junior.
Does Junior live like in a closet, shackled to the radiator downstairs?
Who doesn't know what a hairy bush is?
Yes.
No, I'm asking the question. How could someone not know?
Well, we haven't quite figured it out, and part of it is you just have to know Junior. His name's Junior Wong. And
Junior Wong.
Junior Wong.
Junior Wong.
Oh, roll.
Junior Wong.
Hello, my name is Junior Wong.
This conversation is all about genitals, man.
Please, tell me, what is the hairy bush?
Pardon me now while I spread my legs. Look, I'm not wearing underpants, Joe.
Now you know why they call me Junior Wong.
Junior Wong. Oh, please, come on.
For goodness sakes.
Hello, Dynamite.
Somebody's going to have to explain that to themselves.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes, hello there.
This is Jay from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Yeah, Jay.
How you doing?
Hey.
I'm a first-time caller, also. I just wanted to ask you guys, because I catch you guys a lot. I deliver pizza. I just listen to you guys on the radio. And you guys are always talking about Star Wars and all this stuff. And I was wondering if...
Always talking about Star Wars. Well, every day we are.
I'm sorry. Not just Star Wars. You know, Austin Powers and all those other movies. And I was wondering if you guys had ever seen Election.
Yes, I have seen Election, and I love
Mike
it.
Saw it. He thought it was a good movie.
Fantastic movie.
Yes, it is. I was just wondering, because I haven't heard it. You know, you guys hadn't mentioned it, and I thought it was probably one of the best movies I've seen in a couple of months.
Unfortunately, a tank, though. The weekend that Frieda and I went to see it, it was sold out because a group of prom kids were going to see it. That's why we went to see the Sean Connery movie, and now it's... Are we keeping you awake, Robbie? It's a little disheartening. I'm getting into a conversation. I see Rob back there going...
It's very arduous work stacking out these spots, and I want to make sure I get them stacked just right.
And it slows your metabolism down after you digest that tuna sandwich.
It does. It does. I'm not a fireball of energy.
No, but we wanted to see the movie Election. It was sold out, and then the next weekend when we went back, it was already out of the theater.
It had a terribly short run, and it was great. I thought it was fantastic. Is it Reese Witherspoon?
Yeah.
She is so funny in that movie.
Vehicular manslaughter.
All right, Matthew Broderick, I understand.
Vehicular manslaughter.
My God, will you ever let him rest?
No.
No, he killed somebody, man.
Hello. Hello.
All right, let's try this one.
Aaron. Hey, guys.
Aaron. Hello, Aaron.
Don Mike, how you doing? Hey, yes. You guys see that show Clueless?
Do we see what, sir?
That show Clueless last night, that girl Cher. Ooh, nice. Boosh.
Who watches the TV show Clueless? I mean, the movie was okay, but... Who possibly watches the TV show?
Well, the movie's been on recently. Are you talking about the movie or are you talking about the show?
No, it's like a series.
They turn it into a series.
Yeah, I know
they
turn it into a series. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I have seen
the... Yeah, tight skirt with a stacked boosh.
Who is the woman that's taking the role of...
A nobody, like a 90210 girl, something like that. Do you know Buzz?
UPN, no, I don't. It's UPN. That's not my network.
Hello, it's Don and Mike show.
Hello?
It's Faye Webber.
Yes.
Hello, Faye. Hello, Faye, darling.
How you doing, Faye? How's it going?
Oh,
fine, getting well, getting better.
Are you getting better? That's good to hear. Good.
Yeah, and I called to wish you happy Father's Day.
Oh, isn't that sweet of you? Thank you.
Luck to your trip.
Well, you sound better, Faye.
Oh, I do. I feel better.
Good
much,
for you.
Much better.
How's Seymour?
Fine, fine.
Is he still reading dirty magazines?
Tomatoes.
He what?
Planting his vegetable garden.
Planting his vegetable garden.
Tomatoes. He's cucumbers, bread, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me see if I get this straight, Faye. You're saying that Seymour is planting his cucumbers?
Yeah, and tomatoes.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And peppers.
Hey, Faye, we've never asked you, does your husband Seymour, does he take the Viagra?
He doesn't have to.
Oh! Well, that's great. I guess that's... See, she was talking in Coben.
I mean, I'm in the same category with Don's mother-in-law and father-in-law, but we don't have to take it.
Uh-huh. Ah, beautiful.
Good.
Gotcha. Well, listen, Faye, happy Father's Day to Seymour.
I will.
And don't be a stranger, Faye.
I call once in a while, but you're so busy, I try to get on the 100th call all the time.
I know you do. Well,
I go as high as 93, and then that's it.
Well, love you, Faye.
I love you, too.
God bless you, Faye.
Have a good trip.
Thank you.
Enjoy it, and come back fast.
Okay, we will. Thank you, Faye.
Okay, hon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go. She told us that, you know, Seymour is planting his cucumber next to her tomatoes.
Tell Charlie Warren I said hello.
Faye Weber on the line.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, you fat bastard.
News Clues.
Hi there.
You're the critic. Have you seen a good show?
Hello.
Here's Faye Weber.
Hey, you son of a bitch. Hello there.
You fat bastards. We love you here in Bakersfield.
Right. Love you, my friend. KGEO, now running the show live, so all the good citizens of Bakersfield, California can dig on it.
That's right. I am not a fan of the double dipping on the fat bastards, though. You know, you said it once. We heard you the first time.
Heard you the first time.
You've got to get Erica for the underwear fashion show.
Who's Erica?
She's, I believe she's the promo babe there at the station.
Jane?
Real hottie, gotta get her.
Goodbye.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
What's going on?
Hello.
Hey, guess what?
What?
I am deeming you, both, the only two white guys in America, honorary brothers.
Oh, really?
Honorary brothers, because y'all like that.
Right on!
Oh, listen, right on, buddy!
We are so white. Who is
give
this?
Give me some.
What is your name?
Teresa.
Where are you calling from, baby?
In Oakland, honey.
Oakland, California.
The next thing to Chocolate City, by the way.
Oh, don't go there, honey.
No, I'll tell you something.
Go there.
Washington, D.C. is Chocolate City, baby.
I used to live in D.C., right? And I just crack up when you guys talk about J.C. Haley because it's so true.
Oh, you know J.C. Haley.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, buddy, we are sisters, okay?
All right, she wears wigs, you know.
Oh, yeah. Come on, I know what a weave is. Come on, guys.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Oh.
Give me a headache there, Teresa.
Yeah, black, white, I don't care. Just shut up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Young lady, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to live in a van down by the river.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to live in a van down by the river when... You're living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show. Broadcasting live from right above Buzz Burbank's parking spot. The Don and Mike Show.
Yes, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Yes, I'm calling 100.
No, we're not doing a contest now. Where are you from?
Oh,
What country are you from?
Which country I'm from?
Yes, what is your country of origin?
Yeah, I'm original. I'm Middle East American.
No, you're not an American. What are you?
No, I'm Middle East American. I'm citizen here.
Middle East. What Middle Eastern country do you hail from?
Which? Iran.
Iran. Iran. See, I knew you're not an American.
Iran.
I knew you were an Iranian.
You knew I'm Iranian.
Iranian. Excuse me, Iranian.
Iranian.
Yeah, I'm Iranian, yeah.
Right.
Yes, I want to say I like your show. I'm listening to your show for a long time.
Right. Where are you calling us from?
Pardon?
Saddam, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Fairfax.
Oh, right here, right in our neighborhood, Ayatollah.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Pledge your allegiance to the United States of America.
Well, I'm...
Huh? Come on.
It's very cool. I can't answer. I'm using cellular phone.
Oh, it's the cellular phone. Sure. It's not the barrier.
Why don't you say F Iraq then? Don't say the word. Or Iran, I'm sorry. Just say F Iran.
It'd be easy for an Iranian to say F Iraq.
Yeah,
they're enemies
right.
too.
Right.
Well, I should say that. Why should I say that?
Because I want you to pledge your allegiance to America. You said you're an American.
I love America. I'm here because I love this country. But there is no reason to say F to other countries.
Sure there is. Sure there is. It's like when you're with a woman. You're only
no,
with...
I'm not going to use it as word for anything.
It is to demonstrate your loyalty to the United... Join in our empty ritual, please.
I can't say F the government of Iran, but I'm not going to say F Iran.
Yes, you can.
Let me ask you.
Are you married?
No, I'm married now.
All right.
For the American right. girl to marry.
Of course.
If you were married, let's say that you would have traded a bunch of camels for your wife, mm-hmm. okay? Or whatever compensation you work out
sure.
in your country.
Right.
Now, if you're married, you've traded your camels and you have a wife. Your wife would say to you, who do you love? And what if you were to say to her, I love you, but I also love the woman I was with before you? You know what your wife would do? Being from one of your countries, she would probably cut your genitals off because, like, if someone shoplifts in your country, you'd cut off their hand. Do you understand where I'm getting at? What I want you to do, I want you to say you love America because America is your country now. And I want you to say you hate Iran because that is not your country now.
No, I'm not going to say that. I love America. I live in Italy. I love Italian too.
Oh, you lived in Italy too. You're on your third country.
What are you, a carpetbagger?
No,
you're like Hillary Clinton, for goodness sakes.
Can't you ever get happy with a country?
Yeah, I like it. I'm happy with this country.
Are you? Let me ask you something.
My God, next month he'll be in Japan.
Are you an American citizen?
Oh, yes, I'm an American citizen, yes.
Oh, you know, we should start putting that on the citizen exams. That should be like the last question.
Yes. Would you say F your country of origin?
Right. Yeah. This is your new country. That's hard to do, though.
Crazy. No
I just realized that'd be hard to do.
Why?
I'm just putting myself like, you know, back in the, you know, if you told me to say...
F Ireland.
Couldn't do it.
Get on the next boat out, then.
I couldn't do it. See, I wouldn't be able to pass your test of patriotism.
Get on the next boat out.
Oh, my God. If you were king, you'd be. Even though I've worked for you for this many years, you'd send me back over there, wouldn't you?
Goodbye, Mike.
Unbelievable.
And I thought I knew you.
Oh, tough working with Johnny Patriot.
I thought I knew you. Super Patriot.
Super Patriot, Don Geronimo.
Beautiful Patriot.
The hell would I do? That'd be a very sad day. Because I know you feel bad about it, but I know you stick to your guns.
Hate to lose you, Mike.
All right, see you later.
Country, family.
Me on the boat, the freighter. See you later.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, buddy.
I'm a Kansan and proud of it.
You're a what?
I'm Kansan and proud of it.
I'm from Kansas, right.
I'm from Notting Hill. I wanted to say I didn't have too many problems with it, except that damn title track.
What's a title track? What, you mean the song?
Well, every time that Julia Roberts comes on, they do have some incredibly insipid song that goes, and it's really sung badly.
Man, I wasn't even aware of it.
Hmm. Oh, it's horrible.
It must have just hit a button with you, because I wasn't aware of it.
Oh, they play it to during the wedding scene at the end, and when you first see
it. Was it this? Hold on. Was it this song that came on whenever Julia Roberts came on screen?
No!
Is it this song?
Can I ask Buzz a question? Hold on, I'm listening to a song right now.
Who's the swiniest man in the world?
I'm listening to Sam Harris right now. Captain Hook.
Young Sam Harris.
Captain Hook. Okay, what else did you want?
It's my all gay day.
Yes, sir.
I know that they postponed the Buffy showing. When are they going to show it?
We're going to show July, I think, next month.
Oh, God.
Buffy, how can people be so excited about a show that's 123rd in the ratings?
It's Charisma Carpenter.
I saw a picture of, is it Sarah Michelle Gellar?
That's the one.
I saw her on a magazine cover as a blonde.
Fake cover. It's Cosmo.
Oh, Cosmo?
Is that where she's wearing like a push-up bra?
Yeah.
About Sarah?
She is nowhere near looking that good.
Oh, right? That's not true.
Nowhere near.
Oh, she's a beautiful woman.
It's Carpenter.
One of those fake noses.
Fake noses?
Yeah, she's had a nose job. Buffy has.
Well, I didn't know that, but she's lovely nevertheless.
They had a picture of Kathy Lee on the Regent Kathy Lee where she had the camera zoom in on her nose today, you know, showing that she's the every woman, that she has uneven nostrils, and they really got in close.
Does she have any hair coming out of those nostrils?
Yeah, oh. A big, coarse, like, yellowed one.
Oh! Any boogers?
Yep, tons. A whole string of crunchies.
Yeah, Buzz, I don't know what it is that thing you've got for Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Beautiful,
man.
Come on.
Is it that?
Beautiful.
Is that where it is? Is that she's a hottie? Is that the?
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of it. But it's also a great written show. It's a terrific show. It breaks all the rules. I love the show.
Mm. All right, Buzz.
Very funny.
Hello, so you say. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hi. I just called to say, you know, like, how can you say F someone else's country?
Easily, sir, because I'm an American, and this is the greatest nation in the world, and F all the rest.
Well,
I'll tell you right now, you know.
I'm American, but I'm also half Iranian, too.
Well, let me tell you something, you know. I'll tell you right now, it's very difficult for all of us, sir, working with a super patriot, but he's a man of his convictions, and he bleeds red, white, and blue. And, you know, when it comes to... When it comes to the United States of America, it's, you know, you have to admire it.
You got to admit, this country kicks some ass, sir.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Certainly better than your,
no doubt,
your homeland.
I pledge my full allegiance to America. But
good, that's all I wanted you to hear you say. And F your former home.
And unfortunately, you can't do that, can you?
No.
And see,
then you'll be on the boat with Mike.
You'd be down at the dock with me, you know, just waving. Waving and saying goodbye, goodbye, United States.
I wouldn't put Iraqis on a boat with, or Iranians on a boat with Irish.
Well, we'd be on separate boats.
Yes, right.
Going back to the homeland.
Although you would all be in the same dock area, because
right.
The first name of your country starts with I.
Right.
It would be Italians.
Yes.
Irish.
Right.
Iraq.
Iranians.
Iran.
And we'd, of course, be...
Iceland.
We'd be turning over all of our cash, right? All of our assets, too, before we
That's
left.
Right.
Yeah. It'd be
That's
a
right.
sad, sad day.
Money that you earned here in America.
And just, you know, we'd be having... On my boat, I could have the conversation of, you know, I said I'd pledge... I said I'd pledge allegiance. It wasn't good enough for Super Patriot.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello there.
You want me to understand, right?
What?
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Right, thank you, sir.
Hey, Mike, I got a question for you.
Yes.
All right, listen. I was talking to my wife the other day. We were having a couple beers. And, you know, I was like, hey, baby, what about if, you know, I get a woman so I can watch you guys together? You know, and you know, do my thing, right?
Hold on there, friend. What do you mean, do your thing? Do you
well,
mean...
you know, I mean, watch, you know, watch, and if I can't join in with them, you know.
You mean,
I'll
wait a minute. What you're trying to say is that you wanted to get a woman to come into your bedroom that would be with your wife, and you would just watch?
Right. Well, I want to do more than watch the, you know, watch the first time. Then after that, you
and
know.
And you were saying this to your wife over a couple of beers?
Yes.
At breakfast?
Yeah, well, no, not at breakfast. In the evening. But anyways, you know, she's a very, you know, she's a nice woman, and I thought she was going to say there's no way, right?
All right, I want to suggest a name. Her name is Lisa.
Okay.
And she's going to be with our show only for a couple of more days.
Right. She's not married yet.
Right, and she's looking for new opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so is my wife. But I thought she was going to say no. She said yes. Now, next day.
She said yes.
Exactly. Well, she wasn't drunk anymore. And then I started getting nervous. I didn't expect that from her, you know?
I can't believe we're going all this time with this guy, and you're not making him do a pledge.
Well, you made all of us.
I think
I started getting nervous because, I mean.
I thought it was the first
she
thing.
She likes her more than she likes me. You know how they say women like
I think it was
better.
The first thing this guy said, the first thing he said was, I pledge allegiance to America.
He didn't go back with his old country.
All right,
What's
your old country?
My old country is Puerto Rico.
Oh, well, F down. That's the crappiest country. I hate Puerto Rico.
Do you?
I truly do, and I'll tell you why.
You guys want so bad there.
I'll tell you why.
I talk about countries anyway.
Listen.
I talk about to do with my woman.
Listen, here's what's wrong with Puerto Rico. It's like America,
right.
Cheap. It's like cheap America.
Well,
that the people.
We
hold
have
on.
The best of both worlds right now. You know,
hold
we
on.
Get all the benefits and we don't pay taxes.
You don't pay taxes in Puerto Rico. You use my money in Puerto Rico.
Well,
I mean, you use American money.
Too, because I also pay taxes.
No, if you want to be an American, you got to pay your taxes.
I don't want to be an American. I want to be a Puerto Rican.
Well, then go to Puerto Rico. Get out of America.
Another one for the doc.
When I make enough money, I will, buddy.
Goodbye.
Boy,
wish I could talk to you about that threesome.
It's going
to
be so crowded. And you're going to paint the dock red, white, and blue, aren't
sure
you?
Sure am, Mike.
So we can look at the colors as we're shipping out.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, pronto.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, here we
Would
go.
Some Americans please call this show?
I love America. What are you talking about?
Yeah, fake accent. Yeah.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Futurama sucks. Family Guy rules. Don and Mike, I'm not controversial.
Wow. You got it all in. Everything you wanted to say.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Buddy.
Hey, man, this is an American. 100%.
Right on. 100%?
Yeah, 100%.
I could go on that whole thing, but you would accuse
blah, blah,
me.
Blah, blah, blah.
You would accuse me immediately of just being anti-American, right? Because I'd grill them and I'd find out where those ancestors eventually came from.
What's your former country?
America.
No, no. Your family members that came before you, where did they come from?
Outside of Native Americans, sir, we are all immigrants.
We are all children
of immigrants.
There has to be a country that your people originally came from to come here.
United Kingdom, I guess it would be.
Britain.
All right.
You gotta say F the Brits. There you finally. Been waiting for this one.
Say it.
F Britain.
There you go.
You're a bunch of punks.
Welcome to the show. How can we help you?
Okay, here's a good idea.
Finally, Mike, a friend.
I understand.
Someone who will be standing on the dock with me, blowing kisses to all the rest of you.
A better man than I.
Waving.
We can remove the torch from the Liberty and have her flipping the bird to them as they go away.
What a lovely thought that is.
You could be my vice president, man.
Listen, he's a right-thinking American, isn't he?
Sure is, Mike.
All right. All right, guys, have a good day.
All right. Well, thank you.
Bye.
All right, goodbye.
There he goes, your running mate.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, I got a friend here that wants to talk to you.
Oh, please. Okay.
Hi, this is Barry Wayne. I'm Greg on Paramount Television's The Brady Bunch. All six of us Brady kids.
Maureen McCormick, Christopher Knight, Mike Lucanland, Susan Wilson,
and me, Barry Williams, have put it all together. We're now the Brady Bunch singing group. We got a sound we hope you'll like, and we're making our debut on the Do Re Mi episode of the Brady Bunch, which airs Friday, January 14th over ABC TV. We're sending you the special advanced copy, and we hope you'll enjoy it.
Wonder where this guy got this record. It's the singing Brady Bunch. Remember I told you I watched the Brady Bunch True Hollywood Story on the E! Channel. It was awful. They were talking about themselves, about what great singers they were. It's American Pie.
Unbelievable.
And they covered the hit of the day.
You know,
it's not like they covered anything a few years after it was a hit.
They had a cut of them last night where they were like at the Idaho State Fair singing Stairway to Heaven. And they were wearing their like disco techs and the Sexolettes outfits.
With the big bell bottoms?
Yeah, with the big collars and big sparklies all over them.
All right, well, I'd say it's just as good as it was when it probably was first created.
Send me the record. Hello. Yep, last call. Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
American here. Born and bred right in the Midwest.
But hold on. Please, hold on. Before you, where did your family come from?
Ireland and Dutchland.
All right.
Ireland and Dutchland or Deutschland?
Deutschland. There you go.
And what country would that... What would be the other name for that country?
Deutschland?
Yes.
Germany.
Okay.
Germany.
All right, he knew it. All right.
I got a special thing about the Germans. I hate the Germans. Never forget. That's my motto about Germany.
I know how upset you were when they reunified.
I'm with you on
that one.
Right, Mike.
I was with you on that one.
I didn't try to work me, but that's how I really feel.
Never forget.
But I just wanted to say...
Say F Germany.
Hottest women come from the beaches of Brazil.
Please say F Germany.
F Germany.
Thank you. You may continue. What was that?
I just wanted to tell you guys... The American, the hottest women come from the beaches of Brazil.
Now, you wouldn't accept that, would you, if you were king?
No.
That would be the kind of thing where you'd want to shut that down, especially in the press.
Hottest women come from California.
That's right.
Florida.
They wear much
Texas.
Brazil.
All about the women they sing about in the Beach Boys songs.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Midwest farmers' daughters really make me feel all right.
East Coast girls are hip. I really dig those clothes they wear.
I wish they all could be California girls.
There you go. That actually would be at the inaugural.
The gospel, according to Brian Wilson. Robbie, give me my Brian Wilson album, please.
Brian Wilson, a great American poet.
A brief tribute to Brian Wilson.
Are you still planning on having Brian Wilson in your cabinet? Because you consider him America's greatest living poet?
Secretary of Defense.
And would he perform at the inauguration?
Everything that he has to say to the nation, he would say in song.
Okay.
For instance, let's say I'm with Brian Wilson, and we're discussing Kosovo.
Right.
I'm speaking to the nation, and I go, ladies and gentlemen, I've made a decision about Kosovo, we're going to attack. Here now is my Secretary of Defense, Brian Wilson.
Right, yeah, John, you are a sweetheart. Oh, we're a couple in love. Oh, they want to be true to each other. Oh, just true as the stars above. He was her man.
And he'd entertain all kinds of questions in a press conference. Mr. Secretary, can you tell me, please, Did the NATO bombs actually hit a school in Kosovo?
I'll see you in my dreams. I'll see you in my dreams. La 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 la.
Mr. Secretary, can you assess the current state of the negotiations?
There's only one place for me, D.U. Or there's only one place for me, O.D.U. A type of robot.
Secretary of
Secretary of State Brian Wilson.
Brian Wilson. Yeah.
Buzz, you have a question for Mr. Wilson?
Yes. What are the chances that Slobodan Milosevic will be able to pull off this peace agreement?
Maybe see if I can think of another way.
What? What?
See if I can think of another way.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
Oh, hold on.
Somebody else asked a question.
Okay.
What was that question again, Buzz?
What are the chances that Slobodan Milosevic will be able to make this peace agreement really happen?
Bye-bye, Blackbird.
I know that sparrow in the treetops, sparrow in the treetops, scared of going, goes through down there. A sparrow in the treetops, sparrow in the treetops,
Secretary of State Brian Wilson.
Thank you.
And finally, Mr. Wilson. What do you think about the deportation of all people that will not pledge their allegiance to the United States of America?
You say tomato, I say tomato.
You say tomato, and I say tomato. La 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 la. You say tomato, and I say tomato. Oh, let's call the whole thing off.
Brilliant answer.
There you go.
Yes, a great statesman.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Brian Wilson, everybody.
Brian Wilson, ladies and gentlemen. Brian freaking Wilson.
Yes, sir.
Brian Wilson, yeah. Brian Wilson, ladies and gentlemen.
When you wish upon a star?
When you wish upon a star, make no difference who you are. When you wish upon a star, your dreams, they come true.
If there were two Brian Wilsonses, I would have to kill myself twice.
And if there were somebody that said two Brian Wilsonses.
Oh, my, Brian Wilsonses.
What do you want? Hello.
Now you're trying to be like me, Jesus Christ.
You're Jesus Christ?
Jesus Christ, yes.
You are Jesus Christ.
I am Jesus Christ, yes, sir.
Hey, dude, if you're Jesus Christ, how come your radio is up so loud?
I am Jesus Christ, yes, sir.
What, have you decided to come back as an idiot?
Jesus, turn your radio down. Jesus, turn your radio
down. My radio is up so loud because I'm trying to hear you guys.
Hey, you might want to try the phone.
Jesus Christ.
Come on, Jesus.
I got to say this over the radio. Screw the Puerto Ricans.
Okay, thank you. That comes from Jesus himself, everybody.
Okay.
Or as you would say, you Puerto Ricans, Jesus. That comes from Jesus Christ. Last call. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike. John Kim.
Hey, John Kim from the Underwear Fashion Show.
John Kim Show.
Yes, I have a couple years ago, I took this class, Human Sexuality and Multicultural Perspective.
Yeah.
There's a tribe down in South America called the Cuguahive. And what they do is they're a hunter-gatherer tribe, and what they believe is that the son, when he gets a certain age, they pull him away from the mother to not have a motherly influence, and they believe that the ingestion of semen will make them stronger warriors. So what they do is they...
Sounds like the Ricky Martin tribe to me.
So what they do is they live in a separate hut with a teenager, an older teenager, and then... Like the kids from like 10 to 12.
Oh, God. John, why are you volunteering this?
All right. Goodbye, John.
Jeez.
I don't know what he was talking about.
You don't want to know.
I don't know. It's a place where he wants to live, I think.
He liked that.
I got to go with a whole diatribe there.
Listen. All right. He's gone.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What happened with your wife last night?
I wasn't with my wife. I was with my girlfriend.
Are you having marriage problems?
No.
And why do you have a girlfriend?
Well, you're stop marvelizing with me now.
No. I'm just curious. Why do you have a girlfriend?
I do things where I can't do with my wife.
Why can't you do them with your wife?
Hey, that's the mouth she kisses my kids goodnight with. What, are you crazy?
The Don and Mike Show. Geronimo and O'Mara on the Zoo.
Geronimo and O'Mara elsewhere. Yeah, it is the best of Don and Mike today because Don's voice, you probably heard his voice deteriorating through yesterday's show. I spoke to Don Geronimo this morning, and his voice is just about gone. He couldn't get it much above a whisper, and we figured out that if he tried to push it for 4 hours, he might not ever speak again. It's just simply a cold, but the poor man has to heal. So Don and Mike will be back in live tomorrow, so join them. Tomorrow, you also have a chance to win, oh, this is cool, a Toshiba DVD player on the Don and Mike show tomorrow, because the American Film Institute reveals America's 100 greatest heroes and villains tonight in AFI's 100 Years, 100 Heroes and Villains. That's tonight on CBS Television. Oh, I love CBS. It's at 8 p.m., hosted by Arnold Schwarzenegger, sponsored in part by Pontiac and Best Buy. So spend some time with the Columbia Broadcast System tonight.
Toshiba DVD player for you tomorrow. Now, also, today, on today's show, I get to give away a trip on Hooters Air to go to Myrtle Beach. This is very cool. Before the show is done today, I will ask a trivia question. You will call in, and you will win a trip for two to Myrtle Beach with a two-night, three-day stay at Caravel Resort, courtesy of Hooters Air, with nonstop jet service from Baltimore to Myrtle Beach beginning this Friday. And check it out, Hooters girls on every flight. For reservations, call 1-888-FLY-HOOT or go to HootersAir.com. Hooters Air flights are public charter. Operated by Pace Airlines. See tour participant for full terms and conditions of travel. There, I said everything. Now then, let's get back to the best of Don and Mike and a rare Tuesday treat. Very rare on Tuesday we get to do a weekend recap on the best of Don and Mike. Don?
Oh, the weekend? I lost my cell phone and there is nothing that is, outside of losing your wallet or losing all your credit cards and your driver's license, nothing more maddening than losing the cell phone. And I want to say to whoever has it, I hope you got your nut off, because I'm positive that you, like, called sex lines in Denmark on that card this weekend.
Sure!
That's a bitch.
So you carry yours with you all the time? Is that what you do? Yeah.
Yeah, even though nobody ever calls me.
Right.
I carry it with me. Now, I don't have one of those queer pocket thing.
Where it's clipped to your side.
I don't have one of those.
Hate that.
But as it turns out, I should have had one of those, because I just carry it in my pocket. And sometime on Saturday...
Do you have it on vibration function, so if somebody does call you, it's a good feeling?
I don't have a vibration
function. Oh, you don't have a vibration
function. However, mine is like yours. I have the queer ring, where it goes... Do-do-do-do-do-do. Doesn't just ring, it like plays his little faggy song. But I carry it with me always,
right.
And I guess sometime on Saturday when I was fishing or doing something else, I lost it and didn't realize it until... yesterday.
Did you report it stolen?
Yeah, I did.
Good.
But not until, I figure I lost it on Saturday.
Right.
And because I was positive that I hadn't lost it, I just left it somewhere.
Do you think it might have fallen out of your pocket when you were killing fish or something?
I don't know. It could have been anything. I went a lot of places this weekend, did a lot of stuff.
Right.
And I had the kids, my son and his friends, and my wife, and my in-laws. I had everybody. I was positive that I had just left the phone either in the car or in the house.
So you had the full, you know, the hard target search of every hen house, outhouse.
Yeah, absolutely, Tommy Lee. All the way around. And then, my wife said to me, she said on Saturday, she said, you better call them and tell them that you lost the phone. Right. And I said, honey, I want to tell you something. I mean, I gave her a super lecture where I said, listen now, that phone always right here in my pocket. I'm never more than a moment away.
Oh, guys, all men are the same that way. They really are as far as I... Look, I know exactly where I said it.
That's what I said. I said, first off, I wouldn't have gone out on the boat wearing these loose-fitting pants with a phone in there. So I know I didn't lose it on the boat.
Right.
Second, did you pick up my phone by mistake? Because I tried to turn it around on Frida right away.
Sure.
So she goes to her phone, because we have phones that are just alike. But she has like a girl sticker on the back. It was like a sticker of a flower or something.
A little pink flower.
She goes, no, I've got mine. So then I said, well, you know what? You must have picked it up and put it somewhere. Because I'm positive. I want to tell you something. I mean, I really laid it on her where I said, I don't lose phones. I never lost a phone in my life. Don't call, because that phone will turn up.
Right.
So we waited all afternoon Saturday, all Saturday night. Again,
when you were looking for it, at any point, did someone suggest calling the number on the phone so that you could find it because it would be ringing?
That's an excellent idea, but nobody did.
Oh.
Nobody thought of that.
And that, have you thought about calling the number at any time?
No, because now I called and canceled it.
Oh, okay.
I waited, though. My wife thinks I'm an idiot because I was so positive I didn't lose it. She said, you should call again Saturday night. She said, just call them and cancel it in case some guy is like calling Denmark. And I said, honey, it'll show up. Don't worry about it. Sunday, we get up Sunday. She says, you still didn't find the phone. Call and cancel.
Oh, absolutely.
She says, I'm going to call and cancel. I said, listen, it's my business. It's my life. The phone will turn up. Let me do it. So we get Sunday, all day, all night, finally Sunday night. And sheepishly, I have to go to my wife and say, honey, what's that number where I call to cancel the phone? And as soon as I call and cancel the phone, the first thing the person on the other phone, Nokia helpline, I said, yeah, I think I lost my phone. Fine. When did you lose it? I said, sometime yesterday. She goes, I get this. Oh. From the lady on the Nokia line. She goes,
You should have called immediately.
Oh, dear.
I said, well, I'm positive that I didn't, I was positive I didn't lose it. So then I had to go through a whole big rigmarole about about what might happen if somebody made the calls, and did we buy the insurance, and of course...
I didn't know that, and they make it that tough for you.
You know, I never do that. It's like when I buy a TV or something, or a microwave, and said, you want the warranty, I always go, you know, hell no.
Forget it.
Just give it to me.
Forget about it.
So now I'm without phone, and that's awful when you're used to having it to not have it.
No, I mean, and it becomes part of you.
I hate thinking that some bastard out there's got my phone.
Some guy's got his greasy little fingers all over your phone, calling all sorts of lines.
Not to mention the fact that I've got all your guys' phone numbers programmed into that thing
put in automatically. Ah. So you never even at this point, you don't have any clue where you might have set it down.
No. I'm still convinced I didn't lose it. But apparently the world is begging to differ with me. So, you know, that crushed me all weekend.
Right.
Really, I mean, I was mad about that.
Easily replaceable item, though.
Yeah, easily replaceable, but it was my lucky phone. You know how I am with things.
I understand.
It's like, I got something, it's my lucky whatever it is. Now I'm convinced the world's going to crash around me because I don't have my lucky phone.
Well, the next one you get one of those clips so you can clip it on your belt like those guys do.
Never.
Never!
Never. Those guys look faggy.
I hate those things. I especially hate them on a golf course when I see them on a golf course.
Okay, so we get through all this crap with the telephone. It's about 4 o'clock yesterday, and the kids all say to me, we want to go see Star Wars
again.
Yeah, well, now I've already seen it, but you know, none of my family's seen it, none of these kids that were with have seen it.
That's the prime demographic too for that movie, is the kids that age.
So here we go, Star Wars. Now I immediately, because I'm still believing that the movie's gonna make $600 million,
right,
I say to the kids, there's no way we can even get tickets for this movie,
right?
So I tell you what, let's not go to the theater first. I'm going to call the ticket phone number,
right?
And then they'll tell me it's sold out, and then we'll find out what else we can do.
Okay.
Well, I call up, and they got the automated Star Wars 4:30 tickets available. So, like, I'm amazed, right?
Oh, you're very fortunate, you think.
Kind of disappointed, though, because I thought for sure it would be sold out, but it wasn't sold out. So we get the tickets, and we go to the movie.
You're reaping the benefit of that $40 million shortfall right now. You know?
Yeah, right, absolutely I am, right. So we go to the movie, and it sucks.
Right.
The movie sucks just as bad the second time as it did the first time, except I think that maybe I'm going to be able to notice other things in the movie, because the first time I went to the screening where, like, people clapped when the Lucasfilm logo came up on screen.
Right.
People clapped when R2-D2 came on and all this stupid stuff. Well, no one was doing that in this theater.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is a problem, and I got into an argument with a woman in the theater because the movie theater was packed, just about sold out. Lots of people with kids. Kids that were like maybe 3, 4, 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I understand how little kids want to see the movie.
Mm-hmm.
However, even in a movie like Star Wars, even if I've seen the movie already and I already know it sucks, I don't like little kids talking through the whole movie.
Well, 3, 4, and 5, I think even 6 is a little young to go see that.
Well, there were kids in this movie, and not just one kid. I mean, like 100 kids. In the very beginning of the movie when they're... Can I tell you this part that they're like underwater? It's real fakey underwater stuff.
Right.
They're flying the ship underwater. Mm-hmm. All the kids start going, water, water, water. Look, mommy, water. Look, it's city, mommy, water. Water, city. It's a city in the water, mommy. Look, Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar Binks. Mommy, look. Oh, laser sword. Mommy, look, 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 look. Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar. Well,
and those are the 18-year-olds.
Right. This is going on. Finally, I turned around. And I just gave the woman the stare, right?
Right.
Just gave her the look. Well, she just looks right back at me, and while she's looking at me, she's talking to her kids. She's saying, yes, that's right. Yes, they're underwater. I mean, they're having an out loud conversation. So I keep giving her the hairy eyeball. She keeps talking to her kid. Finally, I said, ma'am, do you mind? We're all here to watch the movie. And then at this point, this is what this lady, this is the Reston Town Center. This lady says, she stands up, she goes, excuse me, because I had security guards in this theater,
right?
She calls the rent-a-cop over. And she says to the rent-a-cop, this is while the movie's going on.
Right.
She says, this man is bothering us. Now, this is while the movie's going on. Meanwhile, now everyone's looking at me. And I said, well, listen, this lady's talking to her kids. Her kids are talking throughout the whole movie. The rent-a-cop looks at me and goes, kids like Star Wars.
Right?
So I lose the battle. The rent-a-cop leaves. Everybody gives me a dirty look. And at this point, then my kid and his friends, they say, we want some snacks.
Right.
So I think, okay, it's a great opportunity to make the hell out of this movie. I'll go wait in the line and get you some snacks. I want to say this, and I mean this sincerely to the people at the Reston Town Center. I am not goofing when I say, why do you have retarded people working at your concession stand? And I don't mean I'm saying retarded like a goof.
Right.
I'm talking like, Warren, have you seen my baseball retarded?
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God to you, there are actually mentally challenged people
right.
that are working behind the counter. And during the most business this theater is going to do all year long,
mm-hmm.
I'm standing in this line, I'm going, why is this taking 20 minutes to get four sodas and four popcorns? Well, I realize why when I get up there. When the guy, I say to the guy, I'd like four Pepsis and four popcorns, please. And the guy goes, okay. And he turns around, and then he looks back at me, and he goes, what did you want?
Uh-huh.
And I mean, the guy looks retarded.
Yeah.
And he was not the only guy that was retarded-looking working at this concession. And I couldn't say anything, like, you know, what are you, retarded? Because
right.
I thought the guy really was retarded.
You weren't sure, though.
No, I'm sure he was retarded.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't want to hurt his feelings by saying...
Right. Are you retarded?
Are you retarded?
It's an interesting right. dilemma.
Okay.
It's been my experience that the normal average teenagers sometimes move actually slower than anybody. Oh. I mean, it's kind of standard procedure that anybody, if they go into that job, mentally challenged or not, just moves at a different, you know, nobody moves at lightning speed.
And I know what you're saying,
right?
But I'm telling you, I'm not saying this is a goof, and I'm telling you the theater I went to, Reston Town Center in Reston, Virginia, concession stand on the second floor by
right.
Theater 13, those people, of the five people, two of them really
were challenged,
were retarded.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. I'm all for retards having jobs, but I don't know why they have to have jobs.
You sound like Matt Dillon in Something
well,
About Mary right
I don't
now.
Mean to. I don't know why they have to have jobs where there's such pressure involved
mm-hmm.
with people wanting to simply get the food items.
Right.
This guy, you know, bless his heart,
mm-hmm.
he could not process
right.
one friggin' thing.
Mm. Okay.
So it was just very frustrating. It was like...
Very, very difficult.
Not a good day, man.
Very, very... But and you didn't enjoy the movie anymore the second time either.
No. Oh, I bet the people at the concession stands would enjoy the movie. No, I didn't enjoy it anymore the second time.
Right.
And I was able to figure out to translate some of Jar Jar Binks's jokes.
Right.
The second time I saw it. Okay. Here's one of the jokes that I didn't understand the
right.
first time. When he bumps into Liam Neeson, and he says, excuse me, you know, like Wayne's World.
Sure.
Instead of saying, excuse me, he says, excuse me. And when he says this, the place just, everybody belly laughs like it is the funniest joke
sure.
they'd ever heard in their life.
People are dying to be entertained, Don.
Right.
People are dying to be, they're wanting to like that movie.
Movie's ridiculous. movie's just ridiculous. Lady yelled at me and called a rent-a-cop over because her kid was talking to the movie. Then I go out there to get the stuff, and I swear to God, I got a retard working behind the counter.
It was very, very stressful.
Oh, it was not good.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I get back with all the stuff, you know, the kids right away go, my son goes, Dad, where were you for so long? Like, I don't want to say anything.
Right.
You know, if it was just my kid, I would say something like, you know, there's a retarded guy working behind the counter.
Right.
But I didn't want to say anything. I went, well, the line was very long. Where you been so long? Shut up. The line was very long.
You don't want to say it too loud. They'll call another security guy.
Right. That's right. But just mark my words. If you go to that theater.
Right.
Second floor concession.
Right.
Two of them up there. You know, they should sweep the floor or something. You don't have to put them behind the cash register.
Okay? God.
Listen, I mean that.
I know you do.
They slowed down the whole... Listen, man, you know, how tough is it when you go up there and you go, I'd like four Pepsis and four popcorn. And I'm not the only person that's having this problem.
I have a theory. You can put a Rhodes Scholar into the theater concession business, and by the end of the day, they might be working at a very high rate of speed when they first go in there, but their second or third day working in that theater, they're going to be working in reverse. I think the highest IQs in the world, there is something that happens to everyone when you go into a movie theater where you actually go into...
I know what you're saying, but I'm telling you, go to the theater, go to the second floor concession stand, and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
These people are qualified, and how tough is it?
I'll be there this evening.
How tough is it? Four Pepsis, four popcorns. Guy looks at me like I said, please recite the Declaration of Independence. The guy, and then when he goes up to the cash register,
right.
he has to call somebody over to go, four Pepsis. And I'm looking over the cash register, and I see, they got it, like, so that an idiot could figure out, it says, Pepsi, they got right. the little logos.
Right.
So all the guy has to do is push on the pretty Pepsi logo, but the guy couldn't figure out which logo to press.
Well, probably a lot of people in there playing with their fingers, too.
Oh, boy. You know? No, I'm just telling you, that's a bad theater to go to a movie to. That was a bad experience yesterday.
Very bad. Bad. Very bad.
Very bad. And then after that, we got one more thing to say about the weekend. After that, went home, sitting down, all the kids are gone, thinking, gonna chill out now, gonna watch the 60 Minutes show. And that is when my mother-in-law decided to watch 60 Minutes with us. And last night they did a Y2K story on 60 Minutes.
Your mother-in-law in the house.
In the house.
There you go.
In the house.
In the house.
My mother-in-law absolutely panicked. Because they did a show last night on 60 Minutes.
They did the alarmist show of alarmist shows.
They did a show that was based on the District of Columbia.
Yes.
In which I don't live, my mother-in-law doesn't live, nobody in the family lives in the district.
Right.
But, as my mother-in-law pointed out, I'm only 12 miles from the District of Columbia.
Yes, and they centered on the District of Columbia as the Y2K, the disaster epicenter.
They made Y2K sound like you're going to have rioting, you're going to have martial law, you're going to have the National Guard called out,
right.
You're going to have no water.
They really, and the lady that is doing most of this panicking is the lady that's hired to fix all the Y2K problems that they have in the district.
That's right. And it was just after everything else I'd been through that day, that was the last thing I wanted to hear.
You didn't need a panic?
When my mother-in-law says, how late is Walmart open?
No.
And I said, it's 7:30. I said, I don't know. I say, why? What do you need? Water. She says, that water you drink all the time, that Evian, how many bottles are in a case of that? She wanted to go to Walmart
right.
last night to start buying water for Y2K. And the more I was talking with her,
right.
You know, it's like I'm getting all worked up again about this. Like, I realize I'm getting into a debate with my mother-in-law about Y2K, and I'm saying to her, listen,
she does have 3 or 4 months to get that water.
I said, Grandma, you are the target audience
right.
for 60 Minutes. You know, I'm trying to find a nice way to say, listen, they make the show for older people like you, and they make it like this to scare you older people.
Time to panic!
Oh, my God. She was nuts. I mean, she seriously
wanted you to go to Walmart in the middle of the night to
to get her water.
Oh, my God.
And then she started saying, like, well, how much money are you going to take out of the bank?
Right.
I said, I could take any money out of the bank. The banks are safe. She said, well, no. District of Columbia. I said, Grandma, I don't live in the District of Columbia. She said, well, they said that they might be rioting at the Safeways. I said,
oh, my
Grandma,
God.
Oh, please. Oh, my God.
They have contingency plans.
It was.
Yes, they do.
It was just nothing.
It's the, you know, I don't blame.
Thanks, 60 Minutes.
Yeah, I don't blame you, Grandma. I blame 60 Minutes for this. Big Frieda's not at fault here. It is 60 Minutes for pandering to all those people that are freaking out. And it's going to make more of those survivalists stock up and, you know, with their freeze-dried food and their shotgun shells.
You know who's going to survive?
Who?
The retards that work at the movie theaters.
Oh, God.
And Cher.
They'll make it through anyway.
Cher will make it through, too.
Okay. So that's all I had. Fortunately, I was able to watch the Michael Landon movie last night.
That brought you right back down to a peaceful mode.
That mellowed me right out.
That made my weekend, too.
It mellowed me right out.
Michael Landon being a nasty father. Wow.
I was with TV.
Who'd have thunk it?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years. Nothing works here. I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years. I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years. Nothing works here. Nothing works here.
Obviously, he doesn't like this place.
The Don and Mike Show. They don't trust the Germans, and neither should you, Don and Mike.
Now, about, what's his name, Ricky Martin, his gay riddle, okay?
This is Scott Thompson saying Don and Mike are a gay.
Right.
Don and Mike are a gay.
This comes from the Globe. So, I read this last week.
Right.
And I can't believe we didn't get to it last week. We will today.
This is Liza Minnelli.
Yes.
Don and Mike, how can I say this, are a gay.
Thank you, Liza.
Don and Mike
I haven't heard that one. I haven't heard that one in a long time.
Some old generic dude we call. All right. Untold story behind superstar sensation, Ricky Martin, Gay Riddle.
Okay.
Then here's what it says. This is in the Globe.
There once was a man from...
Pop music's newest sensation, steamy Latin singer Ricky Martin,
Vida Loca, baby,
is being presented to the world as the heartthrob of millions of girls. But his mysterious private life has triggered a big question about his sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
The hip-swiveling 24-year-old hunk showed up at the Grammy Awards with beautiful Mexican TV star Rebecca De Alba on his arm last February.
Lovely couple.
But the white-hot buzz in the music business is over whether Rebecca is only a beard for Ricky Martin.
All right.
And if he really prefers the friendship of males.
All right.
It's important that people think Ricky is straight, say management. If Ricky were gay, it would break the hearts of millions of adorning teenage girls who buy his albums.
Of course.
No one knows his preferences, says Doug Brantley, editor of the gay magazine Out.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be part of his crossover appeal.
I'm a subscriber to that magazine. I'm a former subscriber. I don't get my free copies anymore.
Yeah, someone signed you up for that magazine. We got it for a couple of years.
Yeah, got a year of Out, and then,
dried up.
I don't get anything anymore.
Glory Hole is dried up.
Damn it.
And that may be part of his crossover appeal, but I doubt as he builds his female fan base, he's going to rush to talk to us at Out Magazine. A magazine that reveals which celebrities are homosexual. Globe has learned that Ricky's handlers are desperate to maintain his image. Disc jockey at one of Miami's top radio stations says Ricky people were frantic with worry he'd attract too many gays during a recent appearance at a record store.
Well, that's not a bad thing, though, is it? I mean, if you're hot for the men and hot for the women, what's wrong with that?
Well, I mean, little girls won't like him if they know he likes butt.
Yeah, but I mean, if they want to protect his image, but I mean, if they're worried about the people they're going to be fans.
Ricky's mysterious private life has fueled questions over whether he is gay. He made no secret that he was shattered when his friend, openly gay Brazilian rock star Renato Russo, died of AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky was devastated. He vowed to do all he could to keep his friend's memory alive. Ricky recorded a song this guy wrote, "Thanks for thinking about me. He was like a brother." Ricky only adds to the gay debate by frequenting Manhattan's gay Chelsea district when he's in the Big Apple.
There you go.
Although some straights do go there, Chelsea's is a prime spot for pickups, and all the gay guys pose and posture as they strut along in the latest gay fashions.
I love the way they write these articles, too.
I've seen him in the Big Cup, a coffee house on 8th and 21st.
The Big Cup?
The Big Cup.
Cool.
He tries to go unnoticed with his dark shades on, but everyone knows who he is. He'll sit in one of the big comfy chairs with a latte, scanning the crowd, checking out who else is there, and looking up whenever a hot guy comes in the door. I've seen him there with at least one other guy, and I've seen him in a pack of gay guys.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday night, he parties at Chelsea's hot clubs, like the Roxy and the Tunnel.
The Tunnel.
Welcome to the Tunnel. My name is Homo Joe. I'll be your host this evening.
During a recent trip to get a haircut at a top stylist on Madison Avenue, Richie's companion was a handsome gay pal. While Ricky was being cut, the gay man kept his gaze locked on Ricky. When the haircut was over, the guy gently ran his fingers through Ricky's freshly clipped locks.
That's nothing I haven't seen in this studio before.
All right, now, this very telling. Here's a quote from Ricky.
Right.
Asked about his love life, Ricky Martin says, quote, "Sexuality is something I leave for my own mirror. I don't share that with anyone."
Okay.
An article in the May issue of Brent. Oh, I'm sorry, Bent.
Bent?
Yes.
Is that a gay publication?
Sure is. Bent, a gay magazine in Los Angeles, says the singer won't discuss his relationships, but his equal opportunity appeal has sparked is he or isn't he debates.
Okay.
While Ricky is dreamy for girls, his sexy looks and his stage moves have made him a gay icon.
I love those two, the gay icon.
He's the hottest star in music, but his record label is terrifying. There is growing appeal to homosexuals, and questions over whether he is gay might turn away his female fans.
Sure.
The largest part of his following.
I just want to say that Barbara, when she got popular in the gay community, the female fans just flocked to her as well.
All right, here is what we are going to do to try to put some... We're either going to try to shut these rumors down,
right,
or we're going to verify the rumors.
Okay.
We're going to call the Big Cup Coffee House in New York.
Excellent. Excellent idea.
This is the gay Starbucks-type place.
Very good. We can maybe get some comments from the people that work there on what they think. This article's been out about a week. No other media have picked up the story, but there have been no angry denials from Ricky Martin either.
Hello, Big Cup.
Ah, hello, Big Cup. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the radio right now. I hope that's okay with you. We're calling to find out, has Ricky Martin been in the Big Cup recently?
Hold on a second. Listen, I've got a radio station that's phone asking me if Ricky Martin has been in the coffee shop. The Don and Mike radio station asking me if Ricky Martin has been in the coffee shop recently. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, no, none of us have seen Ricky Martin in here, no. So whatever's printed is a lie.
Is he a homo, do you think?
I'm sorry?
Do you think he's a homo?
Do I think he's a homo?
Yeah.
To be quite honest with you, it doesn't really make a difference to me if he is or not. I don't really care.
It doesn't matter to me either. I'm just wondering, do you think he is?
Do I really haven't given the issue much thought.
Which of the Spice Girls are you? Are you posh?
No, I'm Ginger.
Ginger Spice?
Yeah.
So you don't have an opinion one way or the other? Do you think he's gay?
Do I think he's gay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My gay dad says...
Yeah.
Probably, yes.
Okay, good.
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah, you have a lot of gays that come into the Big Cup?
Well, yeah, that's what it's notorious for.
It's a gay coffee house, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
I mean, that doesn't mean that we exclude everyone else. I mean,
right,
a lot of tourists come down here, but it's, yeah, prominently gay.
And I'm sure the subject of Ricky Martin has occasionally been discussed. Do you think the majority of people at the gay cup, would be, would think that he was gay?
Do you want to ask them?
Yeah.
Yes. Are there a bunch of gay guys there right now enjoying a latte?
If Ricky Martin thinks they're gay? No. They all think he is.
They all think he is?
There you go.
Would they all want him? Would they all do him?
No.
And would you ask them if they would do him?
Well, no, I don't know. Can't speak for them.
Well, no, ask them.
What station is this again?
It's the Don and Mike Show. We're on the Westwood One Radio Network.
The Dolomite Show?
Yes, we're going to be on in New York very soon.
Dolomite Show?
Oops. I let something slip. Yes, very soon you'll be hearing us every day coming out of your radio in the Big Cup.
And what thingy?
Then we can come down and do a live remote from the Cup.
Oh, would I love that. Absolutely. So Ricky Martin, you're saying, has never been in the Big Cup as far as you know?
No.
Okay.
And I have to get back to work, so I'm going to have to go now.
Okay, well, most of the gay men, do they consider Ricky Martin doable?
I don't know.
Could you kind of throw that question out there?
I can't answer that.
All right, would you ask them one question? Would you ask them if they would rather be pitching or catching with Ricky Martin? You know,
okay, I gotta go now.
Oh, all right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Well, we did get the answer, though, that most of them in that particular coffee house think he's gay.
Think he's a homo.
Of course, this... newspaper, I'm going to call it a newspaper, even though it's a tabloid.
Newspaper.
This newspaper says, quote, I've seen him in the Big Cup, a gay coffee house on 8th and 21st, yet she says she's never seen him in there.
Yeah. It sounded at first like she was checking to see if the manager wanted her to say they'd seen him in there.
Right. Oh, yeah, he's a bitch fag.
Of course he comes in here for coffee with his boyfriend. That can't only get on the phone and tell those two pigs he is.
I'd be very worried about getting a coffee there. I bet that's not foam on the latte.
Oh, my goodness.
You order a nice big cafe latte.
You never know what might be on top of that.
Big lump of geesh.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it is a gay coffee. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, we've come no closer to solving that riddle.
A little closer, though. We got a few answers on that one.
He might be. It doesn't matter to me.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Of course not. No. I mean, he's still a guy that's going to be popular for 5 minutes by the end of summer. No one's going to know who
he is. That was the only thing
in
that article I didn't get when they said they're worried about his gay fans. That's never stopped anybody from being a big musical star.
That's right. What else is in this tabloid? Very quickly. Let me just see if there's anything else worth reading in here.
There usually is.
Hold on a second.
Tons of things.
I mean in this newspaper. I'm sorry. here you go. If her friends could see her now, the only thing that wholesome Kathy Lee Gifford wears to bed is perfume.
Oh.
I like to sleep naked.
Really?
Admits the star of Live with Regis and Kathy Lee.
She also likes to nap with one leg hanging out of the covers.
That's not her leg.
Oh! Oh.
It looks like a leg.
Oh, Hollywood's nastiest feuds.
Okay.
Okay. Rod Stewart versus Rachel Hunter.
That's his ex.
Right. David Letterman versus Kathy Lee. That's not a real one. She goes on his show all the time.
That's right, and he fawns all over her.
Elton John versus Tina Turner. I don't think so. That's that VH1 Divas thing.
Right. I thought that Elton John was in a kind of a feud with Billy Joel.
Katie Couric versus Bryant Gumbel. I never heard of that one before. Tony Orlando versus Wayne Newton. We had that one on the news.
Yeah. Tony Orlando. Tony Orlando was on Regis and Kathy Lee today, too.
Great booking. Yeah, he's not too puffy, is he?
He looked fantastic.
Tim Allen versus Jonathan Taylor Thomas. We knew about that one.
Right.
Let me see. Sybil Shepherd versus Christine Baranski. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know that those two were fighting from the
beginning. Is she the one that's in the birdcage?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
She's the one that used to drink martinis all the time on the show,
gotcha.
Sybil. Kind of a weird, ugly-looking woman. Leanne
Rimes. Kind of looks like Jar Jar Binks.
Yes, she does. Good call. Leanne Rimes versus Trisha Yearwood.
Right.
And, let me see, Cher versus Bette Midler.
I didn't know those two hated each other.
Didn't we have it? You had a story about that where they were, Bette Midler was on stage and Cher didn't appear.
Oh, that's
remember
right.
That?
That's right.
Right.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley Snipes versus Andy Dick.
Everybody versus Andy Dick.
Yes. Yeah, I guess so. Kirstie Alley versus Ron Silver. Mariah Carey versus Cameron Diaz, buddy.
Really?
You know, all these feuds were going on.
My money's on Diaz, buddy.
Nancy versus Tina Sinatra. Geraldo Rivera versus Stone Phillips?
See, I'm with Geraldo on that.
That's not a fair fight.
That isn't a fair fight. Oh, dear.
Oh,
oh no, what have you
seen? New heartache for Dudley Moore.
No, what happened to him now?
That's sad.
What's the matter? What's happening to me now?
Wait a minute, hold on. A devastating brain disorder.
Yes!
Reduced Dudley to walking with the aid of two canes.
A vitamin!
And, of course, they have the exclusive photo.
What'll I tell ya?
Vitamin! I fell out of the goddamn car! Is that the funniest thing ever?
Oh, that's sad.
Oh, vitamin. I just can't believe I can't get around like I used to.
Secret behind the Robbie Knievel's jump, his dad still doesn't love him.
Oh.
Really? Yep. Marlon Brando. Okay.
Okay, Marlon
right,
Brando.
Now,
in deadly fat attack.
It says Marlon Brando, weight loss shocker. Please. Here's then.
Right.
And here's now. Can you tell me if there's a difference there?
And it's one of those pictures where you know they've done some clipping. But really, what is the difference? The difference is he's like wearing another jacket.
Hold on. Who thinks this is a big weight loss? He went from 340 pounds. Listen to what it says. Good Godfather. He's down from 340 pounds to a sprightly 328. Yay.
Hey, congratulations, Marlon.
That's 12 pounds.
To start.
That's 12 pounds, everybody.
That means he cut his nails.
I just cut my nails and I lost 14 pounds.
Mike,
my boy.
Jane Russell is losing her battle with booze.
Oh, really? Oh,
Walter Matthau's son says, pray for my dad.
Mm-hmm, sure. That's supposed to be a hoax, incidentally, that Walter Matthau sick thing.
Okay, one more picture I got to show you. And we can gauge because Chastity Bono was on our show. How long ago was Chastity Bono in here?
About 8 months.
Yeah, and she wasn't a phoner. She came in person.
She was fun. She was a lot of fun. We had a good time with her.
She was an excellent guest.
Answered all the questions. She was a very good guest. Right?
She's put on a few pounds since then.
Since that time?
Oh, my God. Okay. Here's...
They find photographs. They print, without question, the worst photographs of celebrities they can possibly find.
Oh, my God. Well, we saw her about 8 months ago. She didn't look near that big.
No. I mean, she's up there. You could actually put her in the photo article with Marlon Brando.
Chastity, I just cut my nails. I lost 18 pounds.
I love these newspapers. They're so great. And you hoard them all. You hide them all from me, Buzz.
I love them. I live by them.
You hide them all.
I memorize them.
Is Ricky Martin gay? The hottest question in showbiz.
I would expect you'll see more articles of that nature.
Jane Russell drinking herself to death.
No, I can relate to that.
Celebrity Star Wars. They should have put us against Jeff Hedges in here. Would have been a great one.
Would have been great. His picture, our picture.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, my God. Ray, you know, most husbands like cuddling with their wives.
Oh, they don't.
They do.
No, nobody likes that. Nobody. The only time a guy likes cuddling is if he thinks it's going to lead to lower cuddling.
The Don and Mike Show. They take the Lord's name in vain. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Hey, Mike?
Don.
I'm going to need your help here.
Okay, I'm with you.
You know when I read that slug and I always play the tape that said someone called for a doctor?
Yes.
I don't have that tape.
Okay, I can
so
breath.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
This segment brought to you by Veramax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer. It's doctor developed.
Did someone call for a doctor?
And clinically tested. Veramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Veramax, 1-888 try VMAX.
Someone call for a doctor?
It's time to dial for transvestites now.
Okay.
Joining us here in the studio, first time ever doing this particular feature, is Big Gum Jim, who incidentally shaved.
You shaved. And, what motivated you to do that?
A marvelous look, Jimmy. Marvelous. Marvelous look. Why did you shave, Jimmy?
Oh, just for a little something different.
The hell, I don't
did
know.
You want to look more like Norman Rockwell in the painting?
I thought I would look younger.
Ah, you do look younger.
All right, let's play Jimmy in here. Here we go.
It's time for dialing for transvestites with Robbie.
No, not Robbie.
As his alter ego of
the Big Gum Jim.
Messing with the minds of both sex guys.
Big Gum Jim.
Lots of fun with Don and Mike and
old round eyes. All right, now before you dial for transvestites, we need to set you up with a female name.
Okay.
I think, how about the name Juanita?
Juanita would be wonderful. What a wonderful name.
Juanita.
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 And you're wearing a lovely sequined evening gown. With strapless. A strapless sequined evening gown. With 5-inch heels.
I remember.
This would make me 6'10".
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
And no panties. This is where we call a phone sex lines, where you have the phone sex girls that are so desperate to talk to anybody that they'll keep anybody on the telephone line, and Jim will pretend that he is a transvestite.
And I always hope for a conflict of some kind.
Well,
that, to me, is usually the most fun.
Mm-hmm. That's always the last resort. Because, you know, we'll order him to do stuff like, tell her to make you eggs.
And, absolutely.
You know, all the same stuff Rabe always says.
Tell her to tell you how pretty you are.
Right? Yeah.
That's good.
You're a pretty girl.
Hi, and welcome to the
Hi.
One-on-one line, where exciting girls are now on the line waiting.
If I put these lines, if I take the main lines and take them out of audition, they won't be able to hear us, right?
Unless you hang up now, you must be over 18. This service is provided by Prime Communications.
Prime.
Our hot girls are always available to talk one-on-one with you. Right here and right now.
Right, baby.
We selected the best and exciting girls around who are sure to give you
Juanita?
Our girls know just
sexy.
The right things to do and say, and they're prepared to please you in every way.
Okay, come on, let's get to
how.
It. You got my money, let's get to it.
Hot, live phone action you've been craving for.
Yeah.
All live.
All right.
Kick back and relax.
Okay.
Let us get you connected to some hot, live phone action.
Good,
now.
Do it.
Press 1 to hear about how you can get 20% discount.
No.
Yeah. And also about our erotic club membership.
Just give us the girls.
Special benefits.
Give us the girls.
2 to continue with the live program.
Two.
To go one-on-one and listen to the selection of girls choose from.
Just give me the first hoe available. First hoe available.
Please enter your selection now. Hi, my name is Chris. I'm new to L.A. and I'm enjoying every second of it.
Right.
Especially since I got my new job.
Hello, I'm Nikita. I'm an actress.
Nikita and Juanita.
Hello, my name is Alyssa. I live in Los Angeles.
Hello, I'm Patricia. Hi, sexy.
Ah.
Please stay on the line.
Okay.
You are now being instantly connected.
There you go. I just have to tell them they're on the air first, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Of course.
That's one little stupid FCC rule.
That's right.
And then you are on your own, Juanita.
Pretty girl.
And call yourself Big Gum Juanita, please.
Big Gum Juanita. Big Gum Juanita.
Oh, I love dining for the transvestites. They really do.
BGJ.
Hello, phone home. Phone home.
Hello.
Well, I'm looking at some of these ads. You know, we got a whole page of the ads out of, I guess it's out of Penthouse or
right.
something.
Right.
These ads are just filthy. 1-800-HOT-FOR-SEX. Mm-hmm. Come taste both worlds. It has the P word. P power is my game. Come play me. Sizzling phone sex. C sucking sluts. College girls. Spank me line. Mistress Alina knows what you need.
Oh,
they just hung up on us.
Oh, man.
And after we sat through
what a rip-off.
Sat through all that crap.
That really sucks.
Yeah, and you're right that time, Rob.
Thank all right, you. Hold on. 4-3-5-1. Damn
fool. Juanita, don't get impatient. We're gonna make it work for you. Don't worry, honey.
Hold it together, honey.
I'm nervous.
Transvestite, honey.
Please don't talk in that flesh-crawling falsetto, please.
All right, this is... Yeah, use your regular voice, Jimmy.
That's right.
This is the Talk to Horny Girls Live one-on-one
line. Hi, and welcome to the hottest one-on-one line, where exciting girls are now on the line waiting to talk to you. It's only $2.98 per minute. Billing begins in 5 seconds after
right.
the tone.
Bill me.
If you hang up now, you must be over 18. This service is provided by Prime Communications.
It's a different number, but it sounds like the same service.
Always available to talk one-on-one with you, right here and right now.
Shut up.
We selected the best and exciting girls around who are sure to give you satisfaction. Our girls know just the right things to do and say.
You got
to
sit through this. There's no way to fast forward past this menu because they want to make sure they get your money.
Now, you'll get hot, live phone action you've been craving for.
Action.
All live. So kick back and relax.
Kick back, man.
Let's
kick back,
Juanita. Let's get connected to some hot, live phone action now.
Right, okay,
to go one-on-one and listen to the selection of girls you can choose from, press 1. Please enter your selection
That's
now.
That's the only selection they
really?
Hi there. I'm in hi, sexy. Please stay on the line.
I just keep pressing 0.
You are now being instantly connected to what...
Same sound we got
Hello?
The last time.
Hello?
Maybe I'll have to try another number.
Hello, are you there?
The same number sounds like an empty film reel.
Juanita, nobody's there yet.
Yeah, I know you're excited to do this one, either.
Phone hose.
Go on.
It's nice not doing this at home.
All right, let's try.
And it's free. For
exactly.
You.
Let me come back to my office.
100.
Knock him dead, right. BGJ.
Now I'm trying Mistress Jacqueline's Dungeon of Dominance.
Ah.
Home sweet home.
Listen to all that. So.
You have reached Mistress Jacqueline's romance line.
Jacqueline.
The cost of this call will vary.
Yeah, the romance line.
Your selection from $2.50 to $3.99 per minute.
That's okay, Jacqueline.
You must be 18 to use the service. And billing begins 3 seconds after the tone.
Right. Go ahead. Bill your heart out. Here we go.
Press 1 to enter Mistress Jacqueline's dungeon for only $3 per minute.
Is that recorded?
Press 2 to join the party at $2.50 per minute.
Which one do you want?
Press 3 to talk to one of Mistress Jacqueline's dominants or her...
3. Press 3.
What are they doing? Do they have some kind of thing where they're blocking it?
I think it's our...
This is Kitty.
Hello, you're on the air. Dominant show.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Kitty. What's yours?
Kitty Cat?
Yeah.
My name is Juanita.
Big gum Juanita.
Big gum Juanita. What are you doing, Kitty?
I'm sorry?
What are you doing?
I'm just trying to have some fun.
Are you going
to
dominate me?
Are you going to dominate me, or are you going to sit there and whisper the entire day?
Well, what do you want?
Hello, you're transvestite. Describe yourself.
I want you to dominate me like the bad transvestite that I am.
Well, before we get into any of that, I need your date of birth and your age.
February 24th, 1972, and I'm 27 years old. And I'm living life to the fullest, finally.
So, you think you want a mistress, huh?
I know I need a mistress. I've been very bad.
Tell her your TV.
Have you now?
You see, for years and years I've been living this secret life, and I'm finally a full-blown TV. I'm big, I'm smooth, and I am big gum Juanita.
And tell me how pretty I am.
Oh, right, Juanita.
Do you think I'm pretty?
Hey.
Do I sound like I have a pretty voice?
Yes, you do.
How do you know? You can't see me.
Tell her to tell you you're a pretty girl.
You asked if I thought you sounded like you had a pretty voice.
Will you tell me that I'm a pretty girl?
Well, that I'd need a little more information.
Oh, but I am a pretty girl. I need you to tell me I'm a pretty girl.
Well, I can't tell you anything because you want a mistress, and I am not a mistress.
Oh, then what are you?
She's being difficult.
If you will hold on just a moment, I will get Mistress Roxanne for you.
Oh, Mistress Roxanne sounds lovely.
Just a moment.
Bring her to me momentarily. Now.
Momentarily. Push Mistress Roxanne.
Bring her to me immediately, momentarily.
Just a moment.
All right.
Big gum Juanita.
Me momentarily.
That's the funniest thing. I am Big Gum Juanita.
This is Roxanne.
Hi, Roxanne. How are you?
It isn't Roxanne to you, slave. It's Mistress Roxanne.
There you go.
Hello, Mistress Roxanne. How are you?
There we are.
That remains to be seen.
My name is Big Gum Juanita, and I'm a transvestite.
So I understand. I also understand you think you're pretty.
I'm a very pretty girl.
Are you?
I am.
And you've been a bad little girl, haven't you?
I've been a horrible little girl.
I'll make you some eggs.
But you know what? I'm a hungry bad little girl, and I want you to make me some eggs.
I beg your pardon.
I want you to make me some eggs. Is that difficult to understand? Don't laugh.
No, don't laugh.
When was the last time you had a mistress?
Who made me eggs? Never.
Well, that's because mistresses don't cook, you idiot.
You bitch, don't you call me an idiot. I thought you were going to dominate me. You're whining like a typical woman. Now make me some eggs, bitch.
I don't think so.
I do.
Tell her to say Big Gum Juanita is a pretty girl.
I don't cook for slaves. They cook for me.
But Big Gum Juanita is a pretty girl.
She's dominating you. No, you're going to need to cook for her.
I don't think so.
You're going to need... She's dominating you, but she won't change.
It depends on what you're cooking up.
What would you like me to cook for you?
I don't know.
Yeah, this is turning like into a real Big Gum Jim phone sex call now.
Yours might be good.
Ask her, do you want me to cook you up some liposuction?
Would you like me to cook up some liposuction for you? We could suck the fat right out of those thighs and put it on the griddle. With a pound of butter.
Oh, is it?
That sounds like breakfast.
That's all the ad-libs by Big Gum
Juanita
Jim.
Juanita thinks he's cute.
Yes, he does. He's
does
smooth, too.
Does your friend also think you're cute?
I'm sorry?
Does your friend also think you're cute?
I don't have any friends.
Jerry Springer.
Oh, you don't think that I can hear the other voice?
I can turn the TV down.
How fat are you, mistress?
Let me turn the TV down.
Oh.
So let me count the pimples on your ass.
Big deal.
You're not
naive.
You're not naive, but are you fat? Are you a big woman?
Let me count the pimples
Am
on your ass.
Am I a big woman?
Are you a big woman?
How fat are you,
Well, that depends on how you describe big.
There you go.
Do you have lots of pimples on your ass that I can count and play connect the dots with?
No, I have very smooth skin.
No, she's lying.
Yeah.
I bet you're a big girl who loves to eat.
Oh, Jimmy.
Yeah. And what on earth would make you think that?
The sound of your voice.
Mistress. You sound fat, mistress.
You sound like a big mistress. A big, fat mistress.
No, I'm a good mistress. One who would...
Good, bad, or indifferent, I bet you're a fat bitch. I bet you're fat.
Are you having fun?
Are you?
Yes, fat mistress.
Yes, my fat mistress, I'm having a blast.
Oh, I know what kind of fun I'd like to have.
What would that be?
Eating?
A big meal?
Oh, that would be eating you up.
Would you like a big bowl of Chinese food? Some sweet and sour chicken?
Can I make you two fried chickens, mistress?
How about two fried chickens? Possibly some roasted pork.
How about I take that round of yours and put it through?
Okay. All right. We had to delete her there because she mentioned a certain body part of Big Gum Juanita's and what she wanted to do with it. Oh, nothing makes that bit come to a faster halt than a girl's. And what'd you say? I want to take your big fat.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she called something else fat that was on Big Gum Jim.
Oh, sorry, my
Big
God.
Gum Juanita.
Juanita. You know, I know I said it when we were doing it there, but that eerily sounded like what it really might be like if you were having phone sex with one of those girls, Jim.
I believe those are conversations that have happened off air.
Sure. Well, thank you, Juanita.
Thank you.
Excellent job. Great addition to Dialing for Hose.
That was Big Gum Jim talking to his big fat mistress.
Dialing for Transvestites. With Big Gum Juanita.
Oh, man, that was a great big fat mistress.
You know, we've never called the domination line before. We've always just called the straight sex line.
Had a little extra pizzazz, didn't it?
She was good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, she was good. Look at Buzz nodding his head. I'm afraid you didn't turn your lights off in there, Buzz.
She did her job well, I thought.
Yeah, she was good.
Oh, did you hear those touch tones? Has it started? Yes, folks, it is your time for you to win your trip to Myrtle Beach on Hooters Air. You've got to call me now. The number is 1-877-365-3636, 202-432-1067, or 800-636-1067. Call 100 right now. Wins a trip for two to Myrtle Beach with a two-night, three-day stay at Caravelle Resort, courtesy of Hooters Air, with nonstop jet service from Baltimore to Myrtle Beach beginning this Friday. Hooters girls on every flight. Oh, yes. The reservations, call 1-888-FLY-HOOT or go to HootersAir.com. Hooters Air flights are public charters operated by Pace Airlines. See tour participant for full terms and conditions of travel. So call me now, 1-877-365-3636 or 202-432-1067. 100th caller is going to Myrtle Beach on Hooters Air. Oh, and another reminder, remember, tomorrow you can win a Toshiba DVD player. All you got to do is tonight check out CBS, because the American Film Institute reveals America's 100 greatest heroes and villains and AFI's 100 years, 100 heroes and villains tonight on CBS at 8 p.m., hosted by Arnold Schwarzenegger, sponsored in part by Pontiac and Best Buy. So spend some time tonight with the Columbia Broadcasting System, and tomorrow Don and Mike will be back. You can win a Toshiba DVD player. Remember, Don, voice bad, feeling better, and he'll be back tomorrow. So call now. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me, Mr. Gower, George Bailey.
You're late.
Yes, sir.
George. George.
Yes, sir.
You're not paid to be a canary.
No, sir. Mr. Gower, you want something? Anything?
No.
Anything I can do back here?
No.
I'll get them, sir.
Take those capsules over to Mrs. Blaine's. She's waiting for them.
Yes, sir. They have the diphtheria there, haven't they, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a charge, sir?
Yes, charge.
Mr. Geller.
Get going. Why, that medicine should have been there an hour ago. It'll be over in 5 minutes, Mrs. Blaine. Where's Mrs. Blaine's box of capsules? Did you hear what I said?
The Don and Mike Show. Even better than eating skin, the Don and Mike Show.
That was Rudy Martsky acting.
Blow me.
Very good. Welcome back, folks. It is the Best of Don and Mike. If you haven't heard, the reason we're in Best of today, Don Geronimo is feeling better, but still cannot speak. This cold has really got his throat in a bad way, so he's resting his voice today. He'll be back in live tomorrow, along with Mike O'Mara, the entire crowd. So tomorrow, tune in for a brand new show. And tomorrow, you can win a Toshiba DVD player. The American Film Institute reveals America's 100 greatest heroes and villains in AFI's 100 years, 100 heroes and villains. They reveal that tonight on CBS at 8 p.m. It's hosted by Arnold Schwarzenegger, sponsored in part by Pontiac and Best Buy. But tomorrow, you can win the DVD player. Tonight, watch the special on CBS, okay? Also tomorrow, brand new show. Hope Don's voice is better. Now, congratulations to Frank Connor of Spotsylvania, Virginia. He has won a trip for two to Myrtle Beach with a two-night, three-day stay at Caravelle Resort, courtesy of Hooters Air, with nonstop jet service from Baltimore to Myrtle Beach beginning this Friday. Remember, Hooters girls on every flight. For reservations, call 1-888-FLY-HOOT or go to HootersAir.com. Hooters Air flights are public charters operated by Pace Airlines. See tour participant for full terms and conditions of travel. Frank Connor of Spotsylvania has won himself a trip. Frank, I know we were disconnected, but we have your information. The mighty WJFK prize staff will be in touch with you. And if you know Frank Connor, tell him congratulations. Now, tune in tomorrow for more chances to win more prizes. But until then, more Best of Don and Mike. And thank you so much for listening.
All right, so I'm watching MTV today.
Yes.
And I saw the new Madonna video.
Madonna.
Which in itself is nothing big.
Right.
But it's a video for the new Austin Powers movie.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is the video funny, I'm telling you, Madonna looks good in this video.
Really?
She really looks good.
Brunette or blonde in this one?
Blonde.
Uh-huh.
She's up on a stage dancing and singing. For about half the video, all she's doing is feeling herself up.
Oh.
She's on stage and she's playing with her boobs. I mean, but really playing with her boobs. Not just like putting her hands on her boobs. I mean, like, you know what that stripper was doing in here yesterday?
Really?
Yeah, she's got a shirt on, but she's doing everything that stripper was doing.
And it's in prime time.
And the funniest part of the video is they cut from her dancing in this club with Austin Powers standing in front of her to scenes of her driving in his Jaguar.
And I'm laughing already. I like that.
And in every scene that they cut to, the first time she's licking him on the side of the face and he's going, baby, behave. Then the next time, she's standing up in the car next to him and she looks like she's unzipping her jacket. And in the final scene in his car, she's in the passenger side, he's driving. She's bent over, and she is rubbing her ass on his face. I mean, she has pants on and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Really good. And, you know, I couldn't even tell you if the song was any good or not. I mean, who cares?
Right.
Who cares?
Well, she probably liked him.
Oh, I bet she does. You know, sure, you know, he's a creative guy.
Yeah, in real life. You know how she feels about those big stars.
Yeah.
Warren Beatty, you know, I mean, Sean Penn. She likes her co-stars, even if it's in a music video.
She looked pretty good for an old lady. You know, how old is Madonna? She's over 40 now, right?
Madonna would be, let me see, the Like a Virgin, she would be 60 now. 60, close to, say, maybe 59.
That'd be something funny. You know how old my wife is going to be?
How old?
In a couple of weeks?
How old?
Guess.
Your wife is going to be 46.
Okay, she's pissed at you.
45.
That's pretty funny.
Why is that funny to you?
It's just funny that my wife's 45.
Same age as me.
Oh, you liar. Oh, Buzz, you're such a liar. That just cracks me up. Then my wife's going to be 45.
It's good. Yeah, no, you're on your own on that one. I said 46. I'm already in trouble right now. But, you know, to say her age and then just start laughing like that, I don't see any way that she would not go through the roof when you did. But, you know, she probably handles it, doesn't she? You wouldn't be doing this if she didn't handle it.
I don't know. Well, you know, I got the whole thing with the car happening today.
Is she freaking out about being 45?
No, not at all.
Good.
Not at all. Five more till 50.
40's not a big one. I mean, 40's not one that
it was
phases.
Nothing for me. I turned 40 last year, and you're going to turn 40 this year. It's nothing.
I'm not really even thinking about it.
Yes. Buzz, when you turned 40, 12, 13 years ago?
five years ago.
It was no big deal for you, Buzz.
No, I'm fine.
And when Rudy Marsky turned 40, you know, back when Al Capone was ruling Chicago.
Hey, would somebody please tell Rudy that the way to book guests on the show is to call the producer, Charlie Broyhill. Every week now, it's a ritual now on Thursday morning that I get the call from Rudy.
Bank, 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 bank.
Hey, hi. How you doing? I go, hi, Rudy, I'm doing fine. And then I got to go through the exercise with him of running through the guests.
Right.
So he says, okay, here's who we got this week. And the whole time I'm thinking, you know, what do we have a producer for if I'm on the phone with Rudy? As it turns out, I got us Chris Berman for tomorrow's show.
I know that.
But, oh, did you speak to him too?
Three times.
Oh, my God. What's his problem?
He wants you to do something for him.
Ah.
He wants you
He never
to...
mentioned it to me.
You're kidding me.
I talked to him today. He never mentioned it to me.
I had a conversation where he's setting up a tee time where we're going to go golfing, and he says that you're going to do this thing for him. And then
it's news to me.
That you're going
to
introduce him at a dinner next Wednesday night.
Right.
Am I wrong about that?
That's why he wants you there.
And I have a previous commitment, I told him, because I do next Wednesday night. And
it's news to me.
That's true. He wants you to introduce him because he's speaking at a function.
Right.
And it's a cigar function, and that's why he said you would be interested. You know nothing of this.
No,
this is why Rudy's good. Because not only does he call and call and call, but he calls and then it's like, you know, when I talked to him three times today. First conversation goes like this.
Hello?
No. He doesn't answer by saying, wrong. This is, oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's how he answers the phone.
What time I call you? Because I called Charlie. I was on the treadmill and I talked to Rudy while I was doing my workout thing. And I called Charlie immediately after. What time was that?
10:30?
10:30 this morning. First thing I said to him, I say, how come Rudy keeps calling me at home about the guests? We got Chris Berman for Friday. He didn't mention one word about it to me.
I call him back. First of all, he calls. Well, how many times did he call to talk to me yesterday? Twice?
No, that I told you about? Twice.
Twice.
I talked to him four or five times.
four or five times.
I told you, I said, he must want something more than just to chat with you.
Because he will do that to you all the time. He only does it to me if there's something he wants, if there's something he wants. And he obviously wanted one of us to introduce him at this function. And he says, when I call him the first time, I get,
yeah, yeah. Hey, Mike, I got Tracy Austin on the phone here. Hold on just a second.
Call him back.
You know, he's the master of that. I got somebody much bigger on the other line. Hold, is that Rudy?
No, that's Frida.
I just got off the phone with Chris Berman. I got Steve Jones on the other line here.
All right, hold on a second. My 44-year-old wife is on the phone. Hello?
I will be 44. Consider us even now. I'm ripping up that IOU.
Oh, my God. He said 45.
No way.
And I said 46.
I was born in 55. It is 99. I will be 44.
No, you're going to be 45, honey.
I'm ripping up that IOU,
honey,
and you owe me one.
Listen, I am not making a goof here. It was 5 years ago that we had your 40th birthday party.
I don't care if you're making a goof or not. I know how old I am. I know the year I was born. I will be 44.
All right, 44. How's my trunk?
I don't care about your car now. We're even. That's it.
No. You got the door and the trunk.
Oh. Hello.
All right. Okay.
Well, whatever.
No.
Whatever.
Whatever.
As far as I'm concerned, you're going to be 45.
Oh, boy.
Really?
Oh, you know, you are either really mad at her or you're just deciding to fall on your own sword today.
You know, whatever, man.
Oh, you're mad at her.
Yeah.
I can tell.
Yeah, a little bit. She's effing up my car. That's what it really all gets back to. I mean,
that's,
you know,
right.
Who knows? She might be right. Maybe she will be 44, not 45.
I don't know.
She might be right. So I wish Rudy would tell me what he wants when he calls me. If that's why he's really calling me, because he's called me now 3 weeks in a row to book a guest on this show. And every time we've had elongated conversations afterwards.
Right.
Where he's never brought that up, where it's always like, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. He wants you to go to a cigar function next Wednesday night, and just when it's time for him to speak, they want you, which means you have to speak, they want you to introduce him.
Rob, would you mind doing that?
I'll do it if you need me to.
Oh, okay, good.
All right.
Let's have Rob do it.
Rob is so convenient. So handy. Right. And Rob,
great to have a Rob A around.
Rob, it's apparently a very nice dinner. It's supposed to be a very nice dinner. And then he said, I want you to, Don's going to be, I want Don to introduce me at this thing because it's a cigar deal.
Will you let me tell Rudy that it's all set and you'll be happy to do it and just have Rob show up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good,
yeah. Oh, well, being as he never bothered to ask me about it, sure.
I'm playing golf with him on Friday morning.
The Friday after.
So I'll get all the, yeah, geez, Tom was supposed to be there. I mean, I had nothing away from Rob, but Rob walked in and, you know, we didn't even have a place for him.
What might be great is if you prepared a small statement that I could read.
Oh, I will. I will set it up for you.
You know something? Frankly, that would be hysterically funny. You guys do that.
Yeah,
and
I'll whip it up for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Excellent. Beautiful.
My tie will be nice.
About why you're busy and why you can't make
right.
it.
Don Geronimo, too busy to be here this evening.
However, I've said instead,
Rudy means a lot to him, and Don wanted me to say a few words about Rudy Murphy.
What is Rudy going to speak about?
Being America's guest.
Oh, you could pre-record it, and I could play it on the tape recorder.
Oh, that's even better. Who's that going for, Broyhill? That's even better. Yeah, I'll just say something into a tape recorder.
That's right.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, my good friend from USA Today.
And then off mic when you're recording. I don't have time for this. He's not worth my... Okay, all right. This is for Rudy. Yeah, sure.
No, I might just do it seriously and just have Rob go up and not even say anything. Have Rob just go up and put the tape recorder up to the microphone.
That's a marvelous
idea.
One
of those cruddy old Marantzes with a tinny speaker?
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, we got it worked out.
All right, there you go. Problem solved. And we'll have Chris Berman on tomorrow's show.
Hey.
And then, of course, Friday morning I'll get, hey, Mike, and then Rob shows up and Don puts something on a tape recorder. Jesus.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey.
What?
Hey.
Hello there.
What are you doing?
We're doing a radio show. What are you doing?
That now. I've seen some celebrities here Saturday.
Is this a real accent you're using?
Sir?
Where are you calling from?
I'm from Georgia.
All right, good. You saw some celebrities.
Yeah.
Did you hold on, before you tell us any celebrity sightings, did you mention our names to these celebrities?
I mentioned it to one of them, because I didn't speak but to one of them. But okay. They ain't as good as one my brother saw. But Goldberg, he's a wrestler.
Yes, we know Goldberg the wrestler.
Okay. And the other one, y'all know him because he used to coach football team, but now he's moved on to greater and better things.
Who's that?
Joe Gibbs.
Did you mention our names to Coach Joe Gibbs?
Yeah. He was coming in the gate there to drag races because he's got a car at drag races, and Bobby Labonte, who runs a Winston Cup.
I believe this is 100% legitimate, sure. This phone call.
Yep. But it was Saturday, and he was on the moped. It's one of them.
Joe Gibbs? Joe Gibbs is on a moped?
He's on a moped. And he said, hey, which way to the, he was looking for his pits is where they
right.
put the cars at and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sir, they're right down that way. And then I said, do you know Don and Mike? He said, them boys up in Washington, D.C., you know? And I said, yeah. And he just had that little lost look on his face and everything, and he just kept right on going by.
Okay. You know, that's as much of a rave as we're going to get from Coach Joe Gibbs, I think.
Sure. Yeah.
Considering how we used to do that skit about him being in love with Dan Reeves.
Yeah, getting in a jacuzzi together and admiring each other's coaches' shorts.
Having gay sex. Hello, Don and Mike Show. I just want to point out, that's a bit right there.
Right.
Years ahead of its time.
Of course it was. And
NFL coaches having sex together.
We got dirty looks. We went to one function with Joe Gibbs, and we realized he had heard the bit.
Do you remember that? That was the Ronald McDonald House auction.
Yep, and we saw him, and we were just standing together like two schoolgirls over in the corner going, does he see us? Does he see us? And he finally looked over.
And he gave us a look that just said, F you. F you, you guys. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Baby.
Hi.
Hi.
You're going to have to rub your wife's feet to make up for that.
Rubber what?
Feet.
Rubber feet? Oh, no. No way.
Oh, yeah. You got to make up for that. You never tease a woman about her age and never hit it.
Honey, I wasn't teasing her. I really thought my wife was going to be 45. I swear to God, I'm not making it like a joke. I mean, I was laughing. For my money, 44 is as funny as 45.
Well, I turned 40 last year, and it's traumatic.
It's understand where I'm coming from with this. It's funny because hell, I'm 40. I laugh at that,
right?
Because
I don't feel like I'm 40.
You're not a woman.
Thank you for noticing.
I think 50 will be traumatic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Love you guys.
All right, love you. Bye-bye. Thank you. All right, 50 will be. 50 will be, to me, it's the mathematics of it, that it's not really middle age unless you're planning on living to 100 years of age.
No way.
I know.
It's so funny that we're all old.
Especially Buzz.
Not Jesus.
It's not that funny, Don.
Buzz is so old, man. I can't even picture.
45. That's it.
I'd hate to be a disc jockey and still be as old as Buzz. I'd have to look back on my life and say, failure.
Oh, God.
Really would. If I'm Buzz's age and I'm still a DJ, oh, man. Big loser. Hello, Don and Mike Show, but no need to worry. Still got 10,
Radio guy.
10 more solid years behind the microphone. Hello.
Radio guys, how y'all doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Cool. I guess you didn't see up close and personal with Madonna last night on 60 Minutes.
No, sure didn't.
She doesn't look as good as you think. Makeup must do wonders. She looked awful. She's got pock marks on the right side of her face.
Madonna?
Yeah, she's gaunt looking. She does. She looks awful, but she's got her perspective. You know, she's heading in the right direction at least.
I think Madonna's more normal now than she's ever been. I think having the kid has made her a little more normal. I'm talking
that did everything in the world for her.
She looked good in that video, man.
I like Madonna. I can't help but like Madonna. I don't know why I like Madonna. I just like her.
I admire
her.
She's got balls. I mean, I mean that as a compliment. She's got balls.
But she did. She did. She looked gaunt looking like she'd lost, you know, excessive weight.
Yeah, she does look. And you know one thing I don't think about women is that, and especially in this video I saw for the Mike Myers movie,
mm-hmm.
Madonna's arms. She's got like bigger muscles than guys do in her arms.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I like a woman's arms to be nice and
soft,
doughy.
You know, doughy and smooth, a smooth line. The subtle curve of the woman's form.
Yes.
Not the cut angular musculature of a bodybuilder.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Em. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, I have a quick question for Mike.
Yes.
Mike, when you eat Chinese food, do you like soy sauce or dick sauce?
I prefer both soy and dick. But which do you like better, Mike, soy or dick?
I think soy. Although, it, with the right foods, a dick sauce is absolutely magnificent.
Sorry, we're out of time.
So we meet again. Sammy Davis here, you're saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.